Let's get ready to wrinkle!
This is my my first weekend camping at a family campground that is like a really popular family campground. Yeah. Like,
I've done state parks and stuff before.
Yeah, they won the best of all the Jellystone parks in 2013, but like they get like national accolades.
Right. Did you see Yogi?
Yeah, we saw Yogi and Boo Boo out there taking pictures.
Did you see Ranger Smith?
No, I did not see. Well, there's Ranger Smith likenesses everywhere, but I did not see Ranger Smith himself out and
Yogi
about.
Yogi ate him.
That could be. It could be. Yogi could have had a moment of
snack,
a moment of weakness, I suppose.
Hey, Boo Boo.
But I mean, we were busy. I mean, the schedule, it's just like if you don't want to leave the park, you don't have to. You can race from one thing to another. Yeah. And then if you miss something, oh, there's something else to do. Yeah. Just go and start jumping on the bouncy thing or whatever.
Yeah. Now, did they actually have jelly there?
I believe there was a Concord grape jelly. In the Ranger
Station.
Little
geyser in the middle of the park, and it's fused jelly.
Yeah. It's like the old Nickelodeon park and whatever studio used to like shoot the green gack
the slime,
everywhere.
Yeah, right.
The slime, except it's grape jelly. There's a lot of wasps.
That sounds like the best place on earth.
It's just their children are getting stung by yellow jackets, and they can't get away quick enough because it's either too slippery or too sticky.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, it was really something. There were
I'll make
several
sure
children,
bring a loaf of bread.
Several children, their limbs were just falling off because they had onset diabetes so quickly. You know, it was really a tragedy.
Classic Jellystone.
But aside from that, you know, the weird thing is that how many people, like last night they did trick-or-treating.
Right.
Yep.
And which they do early because, you know, this is the last big weekend of the season. And it's unreal. They had more people go by our campsite than we have by the house here. And Howie, you know firsthand, we get tons of people by the house here. It's a big deal.
Did they give out jelly beans?
I'm sure someone did.
Beans of jelly.
Well, no, it's all the campers. All the campers are sitting out with candy, giving out candy. Like they put their little folding chairs right next to the little roads and just hand it out as the kids come breezing by. And they have a contest for best decorated spot. And oh my gosh, some people like this one family had made a maze on their little camp spot, and it was just like all these little animatronics and goofy, spooky stuff. And they had a fog machine and stuff. And meanwhile, this whole time they're playing spooky sounds over the PA system throughout the park, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, it's light outside. It's 7 to 7:45, but we were out of candy in 20 minutes.
Wow.
People are coming by and they're looking at us like, are you still giving? We're like, no, sorry.
Go to the jelly geyser.
Yeah.
And stick your hand out.
My daughter's costume did not get here in the mail on time. Thanks, eBay. And so we had to buy another costume on the way there. So I'm out $50 in Halloween costumes this year.
Yeah.
But we picked up and Kathy ran into Walmart real quick and grabbed something on the way up when we stopped for food. And she was dressed as a little raccoon. She had like a little raccoon dress. And it's funny because she wanted to be Elsa. She wanted to be Princess Elsa, right? Like everybody.
Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's the thing I was saying. She had Rocket Raccoon. That's how Kathy had no idea that was even a thing. So I was like, that's what that is. Let's give her a couple toy guns. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
But all these Elsas are running. Josie wanted to be Elsa, but she was happy with her costume. But all these, I mean, just every other little girl was Elsa.
How come nobody wants to be Anna?
I did see one Anna. I saw one.
Oh,
and I agree.
Bad.
Yeah, you get it right. Jeez.
Yeah, seriously, dude.
If your kid was old enough,
they spell it Anna, but they pronounce it Anna. It's wrong. I'm just saying it's wrong.
Yeah, you're not biased at all about that name.
I have a daughter named Anna, so
exactly.
I know these things.
But we were walking up, and there was this line of ladies who, they're probably seasonals. They all know each other. They're all best friends, so they put all their chairs right next to each other, and they're handing out candy. And we're walking up, and there's Elsa in front of us, and she's got a blonde braid, and it was real, not a wig. And my daughter's going, Daddy, it's Elsa. It's Elsa. And these girls walk up. And I think these ladies have been drinking a little bit. You know, and they're probably like late 40s, early 50s. And they've been nipping at it. They're like, oh, look, another Elsa. Oh, yep, all the Elsas or whatever. I'm like, well, that's kind of mean.
Yeah, don't be.
And I'm getting ready to steer my daughter away. And they look over and see my daughter in this little raccoon costume. And I think, have you seen the movie Underworld?
Yes.
You know how when they want to bring back a vampire that's been like in torpor forever, they sacrifice the blood and the blood goes down and you see it fill up their hearts and it starts pumping and everything.
But it's
that's
jelly,
what happened to all of these dried up ovaries when my daughter walked up. I think we jump started several women right out of menopause. Yeah. I think we seriously sucked them right back into because the collective. Like as we walked up, and of course my daughter, she's very verbal. She walks up and she trick or treat, and then again, and then when she says thank you, because no kids ever, almost, I don't know, 25% of kids say thank you, right? She says thank you, and mind you, she's tiny, and turns around to walk away. Oh my gosh, I thought one of them was going to kick over backward in her folding chair. Like the looks on their faces. Yeah. It was quite an experience, but
yeah.
I was worried about the mass exodus this morning and the lineup of trailers at the dumping station. Never had to compete for a dumping station before.
It's grosser than gross. The dumping station.
That is the worst way to end a trip, but at the same time, because it's the last thing you do, you've already done all the heavy lifting. You know what I mean? You packed up and everything. You got it. All right. It's all packed up. Now we have to go dump everybody's feces. And there's no fitting that fits perfectly. These dump stations sometimes are literally just a hole in the ground with a concrete pad around it. Oh, and there's always a hose there. Want to know why?
Poop.
Because there has to be a hose there. Exactly.
Clean up your poop.
And so like this one has like a foot clamp where it like opens up this metal thing and you just kind of like wedge your hose in there and let the clamp hold it. And then you open the thing up and you can just see it all just running out of there.
I sure hope that poop doesn't leach into the jelly aquifers underneath the geysers. And that would just be a disaster.
The jelly jokes are coming.
This doesn't taste like grape.
It tastes like grape. Grandma. Oh. He's
like, what? Gross.
Welcome, ladies and germs, to Fly, especially the germs, to Fly Casual, episode number 9.
Nine.
You say, is this episode 8? I say 9.
It's 9.
It's episode 9.
You skipped number 8.
Did we?
Mister?
Did I?
Yeah.
This where is was your 8.
I don't know.
I thought you were sleeping or then something. Too.
Yeah, no, you were skinny dipping at Jellystar, right? Yeah.
Skinny dipping in the grape geyser. No one could tell I was
rolling,
naked. I was covered
in the jelly.
I was shellacked in a drying shell of grape jelly. That's exactly true.
That's the way to do it.
Concord. That's my superhero name. Concord. Yeah.
Oh.
Like if we ever do a tabletop superhero role playing game again, I'm going to be Concord Man, and I will be the Man of Jelly.
The power of jelly,
yes. The power of jelly compels you. Welcome. What haven't we? Do we even need to do a Star Wars podcast at this point?
I could do a jelly podcast.
Yeah, Jellystone jelly. Yeah.
Welcome to Jams and Jellies. I'm your host, Sherry Sherman.
Oh, hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How are
Edna?
You today?
Oh, I'm doing great today. How have you been?
I've been I found a new jelly to use.
Oh, my word. Now, I want to hear all about that, but before we get into that, how's your daughter doing in Upward Soccer?
Oh, she's doing amazing. Wow. I'm having her sell all of her jellies and jams.
Oh, my word. That is a perfect
new
avenue.
Jerseys this
and
year.
And that's something I want to reiterate with our listeners. If you're having trouble finding an audience for your jellies and jams, take advantage of those opportunities. When you're getting together with a lot of other parents and you want to support the children, you know, you can have the Girl Scout cookies set up over here, the jellies and jams over there. Yes. Everything's
absolutely.
This is terrible. We've lost all of our listeners. No. All right. We'll keep recording for the one person who just could not get to the unlock button to pause fast enough.
That's probably my mom.
Probably. She thinks I have a good radio voice.
She does.
Thanks, Mom.
Exactly.
Thanks, Mom.
Now, she likes the cherry jams.
Cherry, huh?
Is there a cherry jam?
Cherry jam.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. I don't know, but she likes to pop them.
If it's...
Oh!
Wow!
Okay.
Oh.
Different kind of podcast now.
Keep your geyser jokes on the inside, gentlemen. Wait a minute. I think I accidentally made one.
Keep it in. Zip your lip. Button it up.
Stop. It's getting worse in my head.
Can't
Howie, what have you done? Oh, the worst part was that wasn't witty. But we're still laughing because it was just so awkward. Not to just call you out.
Came out of
Howie's
lips. Yes, hey, right.
I do it again.
You dragged us into that like Tom Griswold. We're all like, okay, Howie's going somewhere. Let's just see it through.
Is this a Star Wars podcast? I forgot
it.
I
doubt it, man. My word. Hey, I'm your host, Corey T. Wilson, although I hesitate to say it at this point. And hey, we're in a whole new world. It's a Disney thing, yes. Property, so that's fine. Yeah. We are in a different room. We're recording with a different setup right now.
Yeah.
And this is going to be an evolving thing until we get our ducks in a row.
Yeah, we got cables everywhere.
But I can no longer say on my right. Yeah, this is almost as bad a mess as the other one. I can no longer say that on my right is Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Hello.
Because he's not. He's on my front left. I'm actually looking at both of you now.
Yeah,
I no longer have to like dolly or focus past Mike's ear to see how he's shouldered.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How about you, man? You feeling better?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I was really happy to come away from the campground without like a debilitating disease. That's all I can't speak. Maybe that's a problem. but we got to the Hardee's, which is where I felt it come on last time. And I had just considered that, what if I contracted a fast-acting disease because of the poop dumping?
Oh.
Last time, I got like a poop disease.
Oh, wow.
You know, we dumped the poop.
Happens.
And so this time we dumped the poop. It was a little more intense, and yet still I got away scot-free. Yeah. I was at Hardee's feeling good, at least before I ate.
You washed your hands, right?
No pink eye, right?
Oh, man. After you get done, I rinse off with the non-potable water hose.
You got your hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the non-potable water hose. And I go in and I grab the wet one out of the center console in the Jeep, and I'm wiping down with the wet ones, right? And then getting the wife's hand sanitizer out of the purse and, like, you know, dousing my hands and rubbing around and smelling like a French whore. It was something. But, like, after that, I was like, okay, I feel like if I have to wipe my eyes or nose now, I may be almost okay. Like, I'm 90% in the clear.
Yeah.
So far, feeling better then, right? Feeling pretty good. But I wonder how over here on my front right, at Master Control, Mr. Stephen J. Howie's feeling. How are you feeling, buddy?
I am feeling wonderful. We've got a 10-year-old birthday party past us now.
Yeah. Yes. I was kind of sad to miss.
Yeah.
Not a lot of sad to miss. My daughter is sad to miss.
You missed a Elsa cake.
Oh, no. That I made myself. Oh, that was you, huh?
Yeah, I made that.
Wow.
Yeah, I won't tell her about that. She'll be destroyed.
Yes, I wanted to go to that birthday party, but I ended up blowing up my car this weekend.
Yeah, you had some fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm going to be going car shopping tomorrow. So.
Well, you got that. That's something to look forward to.
Oh, right?
I find it amazing still is Mike still refuses to face me.
Even though you're sitting immediately across from a table from each other, he's still turned completely toward me.
If I turned towards you and looked at you all night, you'd be yelling at me because I would not be eating my mic like I'm supposed to.
Well, if you position
the other problem
your mic
is,
properly.
Because of the nature of this counter, this mic has to be mounted all the way over here next to me.
Since this is a work in progress, we will get it so that I'm facing you.
Oh, we're going to get it gorgeous. We're going to get it gorgeous. And we're going to live stream this stuff out to the masses. And they're going to be they're going to be like, how did they get onto the Wayne's World set? Because that's what my basement essentially is.
Look at this.
Wood paneling. Look behind me, Mike. Wood paneling. Stairs down from stage right.
Right.
Laundry room door, stage left or stage right as well. This is the Wayne's World set.
Yes, it is.
I know. I never noticed until recently. I'm almost tempted to make us do this on a couch just for the sake of it, but I think we would sound poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be all right.
We're getting a live tweet pic.
Yeah. So anyhow, hey, and of course, joining us from afar is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. Now, how you doing, buddy?
Did you notice
that you caught the not Jay on the last episode, by the way.
But did you notice that he is across the pond, though?
Oh, yes, I did hear that.
Lake Wabasee. He's
Oy
across
there, Governor.
Across Lake
Wabasee. Crikey.
Also, Lake
there
Wabasee.
Another shrimp on the Barbie.
Way in the other direction.
North. I know. You know, I just, you know, whatever. I couldn't think of one that was south of us, but whatever.
Right there. Yar.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. Look, mateys. Our listeners don't know. We could have let that fallacy just ride, but Corey had to call me out.
Nobody knows Indiana. Including the people that live in Indiana.
I'm sure there's a pond somewhere. Somewhere in between us, I'm sure. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, there's a pond in my subdivision.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Immediately outside the house right here to the south of us is the retention pond.
The retention pond.
Right outside my back porch.
Good point.
Looking out my back door.
The Windsor Wood Pond.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just, you know what? Just aim everybody's satellites right at me, Mike. That's fine.
I will.
That's fine. Hey, why don't we get this thing? You know what? We are here today.
Derek even said hi.
He kind of did. We just raced over it.
I'm doing fine, Corey. Thank you.
That's great. No one cares, Corey. Why don't we talk about news?
News?
Yeah.
Well, there's a ton of it this week.
Oh, my word. Is it Star Wars related?
No, it's all about jelly.
All right.
All right.
Yes. You guys
ready for the jelly?
Jelly the hunt.
I am. All right. Well, this week we got news that Star Wars Rebels, the movie,
/ hour long intro show.
Yeah, it actually...
It's only 45 minutes.
Scheduled to debut on TV the first week of October, but Disney went ahead and released it early via their website.
And their app, the Disney XD app.
Yeah, so if you have Disney XD as part of your cable package,
then you probably can't watch it because
you have to have,
as I discovered, you have to have an internet service provider that has an existing agreement with Disney to allow you to watch this content. I have DirecTV, which is not an internet service provider,
right?
And I have Frontier Communications for my ISP. I have it used to be formerly Verizon Fios,
right?
And Verizon Fios does have an agreement with them. But we are Frontier Fios, who does not, because you have to be able to use your credentials to log in to watch this. But the other way is to go to the webs. No, on the website, it's the same thing. The other way is to pirate the crap out of this.
Right. So
I think because you know what? I do not believe in people suffering just because their local ISP is just another mom and pop setup. You know, Frontier has done us well, but only because Verizon did the legwork.
That's true.
That's the only reason why we have great internet here.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, you know what? That's not fair to everybody. I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and say this is one case where pirating is not going to hurt anybody. Darn it.
It's just coming out in a week anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say. So if you want to see it early, you can pop on if you got a cable provider that allows you to do so and do it that way. So, okay, there's four of us here. Who's seen it?
Me,
I have. If I say me that now, I'm automatically outing myself if I say me.
All right, without giving away too much, since you guys have seen it now, what are your general impressions?
Good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's good. Let's move on.
Good.
I really, really enjoyed it.
See, now that's surprising because you weren't really excited about this coming in.
I wasn't until about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of around the time that we talked to Amy Ratcliffe. And I don't know that those two things were related, but I remember in a discussion with her, I realized I'm really excited about this. Here's the thing about animated shows, especially ones that want to have a touch of comedy.
Uh-huh.
They want to have a cast of, man, all of my old drama terms are just falling out these days, but basically a good rapport amongst the cast and have all these different characters have great rapport and banter a la Firefly. It's hard to do when your actors are in studio at different times recording their lines without everybody else.
Right.
It's hard to do when you're not sitting around a table reading and a director is telling you this is exactly the intention of this line. Uh-huh. And, you know, or even as a group on set going, you know what, try it this way. Make it sound like this. Right. And that comes across because you've got these attempts where you can tell it's in the script and I can hear it and go, if that was said this way, that would have been a funny line, but it was said this way. So it's a throwaway line,
right?
You know? And so there was a little bit of that, but I am being so nitpicky at that point because to even attempt that in animation, especially action animation of this style, is really ahead of the game. It's a lot better than Clone Wars ever did,
in my opinion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would watch this show over Clone Wars any day, either this first episode. Even
I agree.
That's exciting to me because I really like, I mean, we've talked about Clone Wars. Clone Wars has its ups and downs, for sure.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked it a lot, though.
Overall, sure. Overall, it's my meter's in a positive range.
So you're saying that this is going to be way beyond that.
If every episode is about the people I've seen so far and some other characters to be built upon these, I'm going to enjoy it.
Wow.
Like with Clone Wars, every time you turn it on, you're like, okay, who am I going to be subjected to this time?
Is it a droid week? Is it a
Jar Jar week?
Jar Jar week, right?
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a C-3PO episode.
Yeah. Oh, look, R2's not even in this one. It's just 3PO. Oh, man, and he's his lower half is deactivated. It's just 3PO in a broom closet. Yeah.
Oh, he has a different head.
Oh, but there's a little, there's a sentient insectoid creature in there with him that he talks to and learns a lesson from. Yeah. Hey.
The things I took away from it, just a few, without spoiling it too much, the music was amazing.
Yes, they focused on a certain portion. Took
those classic original trilogy themes. They kind of just put in their own little mixture of, like tunes.
Cool. Yeah.
They switched them up a little bit, but when it first opens up, that a Star Destroyer flies over in low orbit, and it starts playing a modified version of the Imperial March. And I'm just getting chills. I'm like, yes.
And you ready for this? No text scroll.
To open.
No text scroll.
No,
we're not wasting time on that stuff. We've got a story to tell in a limited amount of time to do it.
Yep. Right.
There was no announcer at the beginning like there was in the Clone Wars.
Yes, I didn't get subjected to the movie reels.
Other things is I loved how they still included Imperial Buckethead as an insult for it.
Buckethead was a major portion of this. I'm like, oh man, Rebel Assault 2.
When they said it, they're like, yeah, take that, Buckethead. I'm like, yes.
And then after that, every time anyone referred to an Imperial helmet, they called it a bucket.
Yes.
And I was like, man, this is great. And that's something. I felt like they drew from some of the EU lore in such a great way.
The planet Kessel, what it looked like from the outside was exactly what I pictured it looking like.
Now,
a brown, beat up piece of rock.
But I got to take you to task on that.
Yeah,
Kessel was supposed to be potato shaped, not spherical. I don't know if that would ever make sense anywhere, but it was not. It was the spice mines at Kessel were in
maybe
it.
They blew part of it up before the EU.
Yeah, there you go. It's gonna be some kind of glow spider. It's gonna go nuts.
Those are the things that I'm excited hearing about with this series. Is that?
They went to Kessel. By the way, spoiler. Sorry.
No, just that they're drawing upon. I mean, I know we've said this and we've talked about this in other podcasts, but you know that they're going to be drawing upon the so-called legends now, and it seems like they're really doing that. They're following through on that, and I don't know, that makes me feel better that the things that I know and recognize from the expanded universe from all these years is not going to go away. Not going to reinvent Star Wars.
Without talking about the action, because I don't want to spoil, but I do want to talk about some of the meaningful dialogue. Wookiee slaves at some point are an issue that comes up in this episode, and Wookiees being enslaved, building the Death Star and all that stuff, that's all part of EU lore, and so it was kind of cool to have that come up. But they were sitting there, and the crew was on the ship, and they're talking about, all right, we heard that there's these Wookiee slaves are being transported. What are we going to do about it? And one of them's like, these Wookiee, when in the Old Republic, they did a lot to help out my people. And then one of the other characters, completely unrelated, is like, yeah, mine too. Like giving you the fact that these characters have emotional depth, which is something I felt like Clone Wars lacked a lot of meaning in that regard.
They featured the Wookiees without one of them having to be Chewbacca or one of his kin.
I kept waiting to see which one's Chewie.
That must be Chewie.
And they didn't do it. Awesome. There was no Chewie.
Wow.
Whereas I love continuity, I don't want to think that Chewie's everywhere Wookiees are.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was really well put together. It was solid. It was not groundbreaking. It was not earth shaking, but this is the first time I've had something in Star Wars in a long time make me feel like when we first started sitting down and started role playing, the kind of stuff that we would try to do, the kind of feeling that we'd try to capture, kind of like the dirty, grungy, rebellious, hey, we're really good at what we do, but we barely managed to make it happen because we're all a bunch of anti-heroes,
Yeah.
And that's what this felt like. That's what that's the rebellion in a nutshell, And I really enjoyed it.
Good. Good. Well, I look forward to seeing it, and I don't know when Howie's going to be able to see it without your cable. We'll have to get that streamed for you somehow. Yeah.
If only there were a way for you to go home and just start up your TV and watch it from someone who you know who may or may not have downloaded it.
I don't know how that's going to happen, but...
Wait, I think the FCC just called.
Oh, no.
So anyway, here on our next cast, episode 10, we'll probably get into that a little bit more and kind of talk about what we saw. So.
Right. So we don't want to spoil. We've already dropped a few hints, but I think we could tell the whole plot. And it's not really going to be because
it's not going to be earth shattering. It's the
whole
episode.
Thing is set up to justify why, you know, I mean, we know from the clips we've already seen that Ezra is not the main kid is not affiliated with this group. So this whole story is
the introduction
is giving him a reason to be.
Right.
And so even if we went all the way through that, it's still, you know what you're getting into when you sit down and watch it. Unless you're flying completely blind.
Nearly half of it was already covered in the clips they were releasing slowly over time.
Right. Yeah.
Because the other half really wasn't.
The first 15 minutes of it, the first 9 minutes we've already seen.
Right.
And that is the most deliberately paced part of it, is that all the setup, all you're first seeing the characters and how they interact. After that, it's kind of a race through these plot points, you know, which is, it's 45 minutes. Yeah, that's forgivable. You know? So I'm looking forward to more.
Very good. Very good. Well, the Twitter wars are continuing to rage between J.J. Abrams and Zack Snyder.
Do we have intro music to Twitter wars?
Yeah, we need to.
I want to guess.
Twitter wars.
Let me guess. Green Lantern was creating a lightsaber with his power ring a la the Schwartz.
Ooh.
Wow, I like that
I
one.
Would watch that
How
movie.
Has that not been done already?
I don't know.
I just came up with that just now. That's a freebie.
There you go, Snyder.
There you go.
Well, make it happen. I don't know. Some people think this is the gift that keeps on giving. I just
love the fact that you keep bringing it up.
I know. Well, it keeps popping up, so I feel like I got to talk about it.
I'm laughing because I've seen the video, and it's awesome.
Oh, really? Should I be pulling something up on the computer? I don't have any speakers hooked up.
Yeah. Well, it's so good. Yeah, it is, and we'll get into that, because there's a couple points here to be made that kind of go back to what you said a couple episodes ago about J.J. and his intent on some of this.
Yeah,
please. Okay, well, we'll just get into that. First, the newest one by Zack Snyder, he tweeted a picture of some Gotham City police officers arresting a stormtrooper, putting him in the back of a car.
Yeah.
Kind of seemed...
Well, yeah, in Gotham City's finest defense, they don't have a good history with costumed individuals.
True. Right?
Yeah, tend to run amok in their geographic area.
That's a good point.
So, yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Zach's pictures seem to be a little random, I'm seeing what you said a couple weeks ago about JJ, and the point you made a couple weeks ago was there was a picture that was tweeted out, when JJ engaged him in this, you know, if we had first seen the Superman with the lightsaber.
As a Jedi.
So he came back. So JJ came back and he said, yeah, I can do this too. And he put C-3PO in a Batman cape.
Which is awesome.
So
I'm going to take the most unlikely character as a way to almost kind of pee on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, Zach took his baddest ass character and put him in the Star Wars. JJ was like, well, I'm going to take the weakest character. Yeah,
at least, arguably the weakest in some, especially in some episodes.
And do that. So
what a drag.
So, you know, and we've had some back and forth there. And you know, again, Zach puts this one out and it's like, he's in Gotham City. So JJ puts together one.
I can't wait.
It's not just a picture, right?
I can't wait.
It's so good.
A video of... it's the Millennium Falcon. And there's two points to be made here about this. Some people think he made this video too because of all the leaked pictures of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that JJ was just flipping everybody the bird and saying, screw you, I'm going to put a video together and I'm going to show the Millennium Falcon the way I want to show it.
Make everybody play on your field and then it doesn't matter what the game is.
So it's like a handheld camera coming up on the Millennium Falcon and it's sweet and it starts in with Luke's theme music and you're going up on it and you're like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Then getting all of goosebumps. A sudden, you're getting goosebumps because you're so, I don't think you've ever been this close to the Millennium Falcon before.
It looks so good.
really awesome. And then all of a sudden it kicks into the theme music for Batman, right?
Like 60s Batman?
No, the Dark Knight. The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Okay. That's not, that is the least recognizable of Batman music.
Well,
it was really hard.
Come on, you remember the everybody knows that.
And then that would have been better.
Yeah, I know. And then of course the 1990s.
Here's the thing. Let me finish the description.
I got nothing.
Well, you would know it if you heard it.
I'm sure.
And there's a reason that he used that music too.
Okay.
So anyway, so he goes through this and then he ends on the Millennium Falcon.
This is what I want. I want you to say that the Millennium Falcon, the front ends open up and a motorcycle shoots out.
It's pretty close.
Abrams. He should have done that.
Anyway, it ends on the Dark Knight music, and then they do a real super close of a one spot of the Millennium Falcon, and kind of hidden on the Millennium Falcon is a picture, or is like the tumbler, the Batmobile. Okay. So now the reason
we're getting really close to Lego Movie right now.
yeah, a little bit. But
that's a good point. No,
the point that's being made about this, though, and I think it goes back to what you're saying about JJ's being real sly here, is that, you know, Zack Snyder's making, you know, his Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Well, first off, he uses the music for The Dark Knight, which is not Zack Snyder's music his movie. Not. And he also uses the Batmobile from Christopher Nolan's movie, right? Not his movie, because there's pictures. Well,
Nolan's still a producing credit, right? Nolan's still helping. He's still producing, right?
I don't know.
He produced Superman, Man of Steel.
Yeah. I don't know what his involvement on this is.
Okay.
But the point people are making is that he purposefully was saying, yeah, Chris Nolan's better than what you're doing.
I am not a Chris Nolan obsessive. I think he makes some decent, a couple of his movies I like a lot.
Yeah.
And the Batman movies I enjoy. But he also causes me to roll my eyes quite a bit at times and stuff like that. I believe he's
Inception.
Yeah. Well, I've still avoided Inception for that reason. I think he's kind of a bro, and I don't typically like the broed out stuff. Right. But yeah, Zack Snyder.
He's completely broed out. Well, anyway, so that's the point, is that, you know, maybe JJ and intentional, not, I don't know, but yeah. I don't know. It kind of makes a little bit sense what some people are saying. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny about the whole thing.
Missed opportunity. Should have had Batman come flying out on a speeder bike. You know what I mean?
That would have been cool. Yes. Yep. You're right. You're right. So, all right. So Anthony Daniels.
Hey, I know that guy.
Suddenly the last couple of weeks, he's like been in the news.
Yeah. And 3PO himself.
They even announced this week that he's done recording his, you know, parts and stuff. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So he jumped over there. I guess the big news with him, though, I read an article in Business Insider that mentioned that he had certain demands before he was going
and
to.
And he's in British. No way he's in no way ashamed of it at all. He's unabashed.
Unabashed, right. And we've known that about him. I mean, for the longest time. He's very protective of that character.
He very much is.
And has insisted through the years. And is
allowed to get away with that.
He is. He has basically insisted that he is the only person that could ever voice that guy.
Right.
And whenever there is an opportunity to portray him physically, that it's him.
You know, and you wonder how long can that last, but if you look at him, he's in his, what, mid-60s?
Yeah, he's still that rail thin.
He's rail thin, and he looks, his face looks young.
Yeah,
he does.
He looks so exceptionally healthy, like he may live forever.
Might be true. Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting when I read this article that he basically indicated when he first started having talks with JJ about this, and this kind of goes against what we know about the film so far.
Yeah, but introductory talks, you're shooting pie in the sky. No,
that's not what I'm saying. What was discussed was the interesting part. And what was discussed is JJ at some point asked Anthony Daniels, well, what do you think about just maybe coming in and voicing the character?
Right.
Which would lead one to believe that, C-3PO is going to be CGI in this
movie. One of two things. Anthony Daniels took that and extrapolated as if to say that 3PO would be CGI.
Right.
But it could have also meant, what if we have a younger person in the suit?
See, I thought the same thing.
And that's so what I thought. Daniels may have taken it one way. But regardless, when you're first having talks, you don't have all the details ironed out. So a good director who's good at managing on a large scale has the responsibility to explore all options.
Yeah, and say, I agree.
If we were to decide to go in this direction, would you be good with that? And Daniel says, no, absolutely not. Yeah, just flat out no.
Right.
And to which Abram goes, yeah, that's fine. No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Don't worry about
That's exactly how it went.
So
that's
maybe, you know, arguably you could say that, let's say that they were thinking about doing it, or, you know, he was being pressured to go that direction. He's like, all right, now I got the ammo. I need to just make that decision this way. And sure, that's right. It.
Yeah. Had he said yes or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think they had Andy Serkis in the suit at one point?
And they're like, wait, has he fallen off the IMDb page?
This might be a little bit better.
Save me from the circus of Andy.
They're mocapping C-3PO. Yeah. Perfect.
And he's really energetic
for some reason.
He walks on all fours and he convulses when he talks.
Scratches his side a lot.
Yeah. Scratches right here under the peck, right? Do that little... That's a brilliant image, Mike. I never thought about that. And as soon as you said that, I could see Gollum just sitting there just with the little underpaw just, oh my word. Well done, sir. Well played.
All right. So, okay, we got a casting update this week.
What?
One with
Mara Jade? Grand Admiral Thrawn? It's Grand Admiral Jade, isn't it?
It's just Sith, man.
It's Mara Thrawn. Mara Thrawn Nuoto.
Talon Karn?
One would think that we're in... we're far enough.
See, that would kill me.
One would think that we are far enough into this that casting would be done by now, but no, it is not.
No.
And it was actually...
It's easier to keep secrets if you hold off until, you know, you're ready to shoot.
Apparently.
Scenes.
Apparently. Huh. So, and they're still going.
If they're writing future films, they could be pulling in stuff now to set a stage for something they're going to do in the next one.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Could be the case.
Who do we got?
Greg Grunberg.
Greg, we know
Greg from...
It's easy to say.
Did you say Lumberg?
Yes.
Grunberg.
He's got his O face.
Could you go ahead and come in on Sunday? That'd be great.
So Greg Grunberg, probably the name, people are like, oh, I don't really know that.
Yeah, but he was that guy in The Thing.
Greg Grunberg was the did you guys watch Heroes when that was on TV?
Yes.
I watched the one and a half seasons.
Yeah, me too. One and a third seasons.
Hey guys, gauging from how Heroes did, all of us watched one and a half seasons. Didn't they say that was coming back? Have we heard if it actually is?
No,
it was a done deal, but I haven't heard anything about it coming soon.
Greg Grunberg played Parkman the cop. Remember the cop?
I'm leaving. The mind reader?
I was surprised I hadn't heard anything from you.
Bye.
Yeah. I figured there'd be a rant on Facebook from Corey.
Corey doesn't like Greg Grunberg.
I quit
Grunberg.
Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Don't say things.
Corey's walking upstairs. He's left the room. He's done.
He's gone. He's out.
Was the worst actor on that show.
I know.
And you want to know something? For all the little people who tried to get me to watch Lost, when I watched Lost in like episode 2 or whatever, he's the pilot of the crashed plane. He's on the show for 5 minutes, and I went, done, I'm out. No more. I'm going to come back down, sit down now. I need to start a petition, and I'm going to start a Kickstarter to fund the promotion of the petition to get Greg Grunberg. I don't know if Garrick's been saying anything because my headphones have been on the table for the last 2 minutes.
Apparently, he's really good friends with JJ.
I know. He likes to stick him in. Okay, that's fine. Let Greg Grunberg stick it in. But you know what? You know what? Put him... I seriously, he can be with Simon Pegg in the background.
And Tom Cruise. Don't forget Tom Cruise.
Eating star fruit from a vendor. He can do a blue Twi'lek turn to the camera and just get it over with. Rip that Band-Aid off. Do not make me watch that man try to act. He is terrible. Terrible. Nice guy. I heard him interviewed. He's a nice guy, but he's just a normal guy.
Right.
Who's a bad actor. The emotion that he tried to play in Heroes. It was like, seriously, you could have had a dental drill in my eye and it would have irritated me less.
Well, one would theorize that at this point in time that anyone that they're casting going forward. Yeah, we probably should, but anyone that we can... At this point, I mean, obviously, this you got to imagine this is a pretty minor role. He probably is just that the
sweet
guy in the background.
Mercy, please,
no lines, kind of thing.
Oh, let him play the Batmobile decal on the Falcon. That will require the least amount of acting. Oh, he can be a landing strut and just make the noise with his mouth.
There you go.
You know. Oh, that, you know, they could have a carbonite freeze chamber, and it could just be him being lowered from the ceiling with his arms outstretched.
I have to wonder, because we've had a couple of these, I think, where, you know, hey, buddy of JJ and blah, blah, blah. You know, I wonder if this pays credence to some of the rumors about other cameos and stuff that we've heard. And we're going to actually talk about that here a little bit in rumors, but.
You can have Tom Cruise. You can have Simon Pegg. You could, is Liza Minnelli dead? Let's get Liza Minnelli. Barbara Streisand.
No.
Okay. I want to see I want to see Tim Burton. And I want to see Tim Burton's wife.
Hold on.
Well, he's got the hair. He can play an alien without makeup. I want to see Helena Bonham Carter. I want to see his wife. And then, of course, I want to see Captain Jack Sparrow in costume. I want to see Ben Stiller having like a fit of self-loathing like he does when he's not on camera. I want Jerry Stiller.
I was gonna say, do you want his dad?
Yeah, I want Jerry Stiller there. I want Kramer, but they're gonna have to put him in an alien suit, otherwise people are
what about Luke and Owen Wilson?
I want everyone that's ever been in a Wes Anderson film. Yeah,
throw some Vince Vaughn.
I want Angelica Hudson and Bill Murray. I want all of them standing.
That's getting better.
And yeah, it is suddenly waving at the camera and smiling. I want one of them. I want Owen and Luke Wilson to be smoking a cigarette and flipping the camera off. These are all the things that I would rather see than in this movie. I want Andy Serkis to have a lead role.
Well, wow. You might. Somebody doesn't like Greg Grunberg.
Gauntlet shut.
I'm getting some negative feelings for Greg Grunberg.
There is no actor in Hollywood that has gotten the amount of exposure and positive. Because when Heroes was on and big, I wish we didn't have to see that guy. And then there's like a several episode stretch where he wasn't in. I'd be like, this, now the show's okay. And then he'd come back and I'm like, nope, now the show's terrible again. And people would argue with me like, he's not that bad. And then he'd go on like The View or something. They're like, oh, we love you. You're just all the what you go through. I'm like, get some taste with it. You just have no discernment whatsoever. I'm fired up. I did actually read about this the other day, but I did not put any credence into it. I went, no, that's not a thing that can happen. Jesus loves me more than that. They would not let that happen to me.
Well, like with everything with Disney, take it with a grain of salt. He posted it on his Twitter account, so that's what everybody's going on. So, Disney. Disney's announced that Rian Johnson is part of this whole thing yet. So everything's with a grain of salt. But speaking about Rian Johnson,
Iron Man's going to be in stuff. Not
Robert Downey Jr.
He's Iron Man. Highest paid actor in Hollywood right now.
How old am I? I'm 35 years old, and I think I have spent at least 32 of those years trying to refer to Robert Downey Jr. as Lou Gossett Jr., and that could not be any more wrong.
Yeah, that's not right.
I think the only way to get that more wrong would be to call him Greg Grigger. Because at least they, you know, Lou Gossett Jr. and Robert Downey Jr. can act, which is something.
Okay, Rian Johnson is in the news this week.
Oh, that's good. Distract me, please.
I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to get you past Greg, old Greg boy there. But Rian Johnson hard at work on episode 8, I guess, already working on it from the news reports that we've seen. But there was a quote by him this week that I thought that was interesting, and it kind of plays into some of the things that we've talked about in regard or some of our critiques of JJ. And the quote was this. I'm figuring it out as I go and dancing on top of the avalanche a little bit. It's a challenge of remembering what inspires you about the original films, but I think you can probably go to the wrong place by feeling too responsible to it. You have to keep your head loose enough to tell a story that you actually care about.
Right.
What I took away from that, and I'm just going to back up and kind of remind people what our critique of JJ has been. JJ is good at look and feel. Not always really good at storytelling.
Yeah. And it's not that he doesn't get the story told. It's that the stories he tells are sometimes they have some pretty goopy, syrupy, like...
But I think he's so obsessed sometimes with the look and the feel that we've critiqued that he goes back to the well too. I mean, we talked about Khan and you know, the sacrifice from,
I think he loves continuity. I think he loves how continuity makes you feel.
Sure.
And that's exactly what I think is the difference in what you're talking about. Rian Johnson, who's going, I can't just fish out of that pond.
Right. And that's what I'm taking away from this is that Rian Johnson, and that encourages me because, you know, I some of the rumors that we've heard with this episode 7, you know, so, you know, things like the return of Palpatine and things like that we can't dismiss. I mean, it sounds so stupid to us,
but
looking at JJ's past, we can't put any of that and just dismiss it.
Right.
So, but when I
sure can,
you watch can, me. But watch me. But when it pops up, you know, you gotta, you know, whatever, nope. But I'm just saying
that with Rian Johnson
with this quote, I think it's encouraging to me because I really feel like he is on board with the look and the feel and doing what JJ's doing. He's going to keep with that.
Right.
But he's going to own it.
I'm not saying be Michael Bay and roll out the carpet Roll out the carpet of the beloved franchise and then wipe your butt worms on it while you scoot around on the carpet because you're going to do whatever the crap you want with it. But I don't think that's what he's saying. He's like, you know what? I'm making sure that I pay homage to it, but I'm going to own something with it. I'm going to
tell the story. And actually, this is a bigger arcing thing that supposedly Disney's really doing with all the people they're bringing in for the spinoffs and everything is what they've said is tell the story, tell a Star Wars story that you care about in a way that you care about it. So I think he's keeping with that sentiment and I don't know that again, I think that's encouraging to me that, that he is looking at it from that perspective. So
I agree. It sounded clear that Mike was getting ready to transition. I wanted to have a nice firm pivot point.
Thank you.
No problem.
Check.
Now what?
Moving on.
Next. Oh crap. The next thing on the list actually says what?
What?
Now what?
All right. New episodes of the Clone Wars. Have you guys heard about this?
I've not only heard of it, I have watched them.
I know you have, Garrick. Garrick's on top of this stuff.
That's the way every conversation starts when you're not here, Garrick. Mike goes, either you two chuckleheads watch those episodes of Clone Wars, and we just sit there and look at him. He goes, well, I know Garrick did.
Well, I'm a Star Wars fan, guys.
Oh! It's good we have one of them on this podcast.
Gauntlet Throne. Drop my mic. Hold on.
I'm a Star Wars fan, too, but if we keep throwing things I hate into Star Wars, I may not be a Star Wars fan long.
So suddenly in the middle of the week last week, we get some news from Jedi News in the UK, and they said...
Is that their website, JediNewsInTheUK.com? Like, in the UK?
No, they use .UK, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. JediNewsInTheUK.co.uk
and all that stuff. They don't do the .coms out there.
I don't know. That's a different country.
Is InTheUK.uk taken? I feel like that's an opportunity.
Anyway, so they started reporting midweek last week, hey, keep an eye on StarWars.com. Something's going to come out. Some big news regarding... the Clone Wars, and by the way, that's actually excited.
A great way to get hits on our website is just to say, hey guys, keep an eye on StarWars.com. Some big news is coming. And then whenever they release big news, we go, ah, see? We're here first. Sorry.
You're right. That's write that down, Holly. Yeah.
No, done.
Write that under strategies. It's strategy.
Get the crayon out.
Write that down. So anyway, fans of the Clone Wars were pretty excited this week. We got four new episodes that were not aired. They were they're actually unfinished.
They were unfinished.
They were season 7-8 episodes.
Was it like watching like the scenes that never got made on a Blu-ray that are like moving concept art,
right?
They slide like
even better
Gumby.
When they have 3D animations that are finished like and they rotate and their mouths don't move and stuff like
so
that.
The scripts are fully fleshed out. All the audio has been recorded.
Okay.
The actors' audio has
been
recorded.
They even had James Hong, who is a popular voice actor, who's in Kung Fu Panda as Poe's dad, I think, in Big Trouble, Little China. He's in lots of stuff.
Just talking about how no one in this group knows anything about Kung Fu Panda not 30 minutes ago.
Yep.
Anyway, so they're pretty bare bones episodes, but for fans of the Clone Wars, it might be of interest to you to go watch them. Apparently, there's some flesh out of Ahsoka and a couple other themes and stories that weren't completely explored.
What are palettes, Garrick? What did you find? Well,
so tell us, Garrick.
There's some things I took away. First, yeah, I was unfinished, so it looked like crap.
They're hard to watch. They are.
I've
watched a lot of those type of like never made scenes on like special features.
Sure, right.
I only actually watched three of them because they said there was four, and I clicked on the third one, and it was just the fourth one, and I clicked on the fourth one, and it was also the fourth one. So
that's really unfinished.
So I tried a few different times, so I don't know where episode three, the third episode in that series went. It just disappeared. Overall, the story was meh. It took place on Utapau, which I guess maybe they were trying to not build up to rebels, but maybe introduce that type of creature.
Well, what I've heard on the topic of Utapau is that, maybe that, but Lucas was totally infatuated with Utapau. It's a planet he's wanted to do a long time.
Really?
It was a thing he was really had a weird obsession with.
And I don't quite understand it. I've just read a couple articles that Utapau is like his baby.
It's such a blob planet.
I know. It's goofy.
They all live in the holes. That's great. Well, no, the holes. No, I mean it. That's great.
Find my paycheck, please.
But there's holes.
Is there any cherry jelly?
Yes.
Oh, we can put a guy
cherry jelly. There's cherry jelly creatures running around. Yeah, okay. They slime jelly trails.
Yes. So, I mean, you don't have to tell us. I mean, in case somebody wants to watch
there's a few different things. It's obviously takes place farther in the future than the end of the season. Was it season six that was on Netflix?
Season six was on Netflix. Yes.
In this episode, they're showing Anakin with the longer hair, the black and burgundy. Is it black and burgundy or black and brown?
The one that he was wearing in episode three. Yeah. Tunic.
Right. He looks exactly like episode three. He's definitely more angry because he did confront Obi-Wan about Ahsoka getting kicked out of the Jedi, or not getting kicked out, but quitting the Jedi order, and he kind of went off on him and said, "Well, Obi-Wan just said, well, it was her choice, you know." And Anakin was kind of sticking it to him like, "You never even defended her." And it was really, really cool scene. Like Anakin, you can just see his anger building and more than what you could see in the actual movies.
Right.
Another thing is Anakin is pretty bad A.
Bad C.
He's a badass. I'll just say.
There's a few different instances. They get captured by these creatures, and one of the creatures grabs Anakin's lightsaber, and he's like, "Hey, you know," and he's looking at it, he's like, "Hey, don't push that button." And the creature's just fiddling around. Anakin uses the force to push the button and impale the creature in the head with his lightsaber. Wow. And they get captured. They, of course, break out. They don't have their lightsabers.
Later, right?
Yeah. they don't have their lightsabers.
That's cool.
They break into this like armory with all these blasters. And Anakin's like, "Hey, Obi-Wan, take some blasters." And of course, you know,
Obi-Wan a blaster. Goes, "No, don't press that
button.
They're
too clumsy and uncivilized."
And running gag.
So Anakin's like, "Fine, I'm going to do this myself." Throws a smoke grenade in the hallway, grabs two blasters, waste about 20 to 30 creatures by himself, just doing these crazy, like, who's that Kung Fu director that's really popular with Kung the guns?
Ang Lee.
Ang Lee. It was like an Ang Lee scene from one of those movies where he's just really wasting popular his
director
creature.
Of the Hulk.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like that.
Just quality.
And then at the end of this whole thing, the creature with that has their lightsaber, he's like, "Well, you know, what are you going to do? I have your lightsabers." And he turns them on and basically dices the creature with the force and lightsabers.
Wow, cool.
So there's some pretty cool scenes. Overall, it's not a very enjoyable story arc except for those few instances, but you can check it out. There's some more stuff that occurs that I won't spoil, but they definitely fleshed out Anakin's like Clone Wars willing special features. To do the more pragmatic approach, or, you know, the easy, just like, "Hey, why are we negotiating? Let's just kill them all.
Right. Well, that's too bad that, Disney pulled the plug. I mean, I wish they would have at least the ones that were in progress.
I'm done. Finished,
but they,
I'm done. I'm glad Clone Wars is done. I'm sorry. It went on a long time and it dragged. It had highlights, but it was.
Yeah, but those later. Okay.
You're not going to miss. I really think once you watch Rebels, you're not going to miss.
I'm sure. But yeah, I agree. That Clone Wars, especially in the middle, dragged on. But toward the end, they were finally kind of getting to. You know, they were really setting up. At that point,
they knew the writing was on the wall, and so they were racing, and that was the only reason we were actually getting good stuff. Because, like, oh, we need to cut out all the fluff.
Right.
And if they had known that they had carte blanche for 3 or 4 more seasons, we'd have probably got a lot more fluff.
Right.
I don't know. I just wish we had
more closure on Ahsoka and
don't write it off.
That kind of stuff.
That could still happen.
That rumor section.
I think I'm with the vast majority of Clone Wars viewers that feel the same way though.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. So what's going on in the super spy, the aging retired super spy front, Mike?
somehow 007 found his way onto the set of episode 7.
Daniel Craig?
No.
Wow. No. Oh, you mean Sean Connery?
No.
Pierce Brosnan?
No.
The blonde one? The guy in Beautician and the Beast? I can't ever remember his name, but I love him so much. He was in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, right.
What's his name?
I love him.
Ricky.
I know, I didn't see
Ricky. Yeah, Ricky. Bobby. Ricky Skillet.
Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby.
I know, he's my favorite.
John Thomas. Wait, no. Why can't we ever think of IMDb. I was hoping that would jog my memory to say
IMDb.
That.
IMDb. I don't know.
Oh, I don't even have that cue. I don't. Garrett, right. You look it up.
It's too late for the joke. So Roger Moore was on the set.
Oh, Roger Moore.
70s Bond.
Actually, when I was young, Roger Moore was my favorite Bond. I liked Daniel Craig too, a lot. Right. I liked Pierce Brosnan, although I did not like the majority of the movies that he
Timothy
did.
Timothy Dalton?
Timothy Dalton. Thank you.
Yes, or was it George Lazenby?
How many UK listeners did we just lose because we couldn't remember Timothy Dalton? Name. I love Timothy Dalton.
We're sorry,
in Shaun of the Dead. I thought he was great.
Yes, he was great in Shaun of the Dead.
I'm a slasher. Arrest me. That's so good.
Oh, yeah. Perfect role for him. Okay, so Roger Moore was on the set of episode 7. I've said that three times now.
Wow, these leaks have gotten to a whole new level.
Her
Majesty's Secret Service.
Sean Connery. Yeah. Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig, all as the family Bond. I would want to see more in Star Wars than I'm just saying.
I kind of agree. Anyway,
are they like Doctor Who, where they regenerate as a new Bond?
You know, I thought that was a big debate until the last Bond film, which kind of put that to rest, where you actually get Bond as a kid.
Well, he's a time traveler.
His name was Bond.
He has a TARDIS.
His family and
I haven't seen any of the Daniel Craig Bonds.
Oh man, so. Skyfall. Skyfall is really enjoyable. Quantum of Solace.
That was a good one.
How would I define Quantum of Solace? Is the of Bond movies. It is terrible.
Okay.
It is terrible. And there's no redeeming quality. It's not like, oh, but it's cheesy. No, it's just terrible. Casino Royale, good. Skyfall, really good.
Yeah.
Skyfall's amazing.
I'll have to check him out.
Skyfall's awesome.
So anyway, Roger Moore. Yes, I liked Roger Moore growing up too. Anyway, he's buddies. Everybody's buddies with J.J. Abrams. So
yeah, well, he was on the set. Don't you want to be buddies with J.J. Abrams?
I do.
I just kind of get annoyed by, but still like.
So
being
he went to
him.
Go hang out and visit at Pinewood, right?
Kind of.
And
you'd be bumped.
He was interviewed and about his experience at Pinewood, and he kind of let it slip. He goes, "Oh yeah, they were working on a particular scene when I was there," and the scene he described, he said there was a lot of snow-capped mountains.
Now, see was it? Who was it that told us about this story?
Oh, geez. Comicbook.com.
Roger Moore.
I actually saw this on Facebook because Steve Potter, fan of the show, posted on Facebook. And that's how he did.
You're right. Yeah.
That's how I first saw this. And I said, but what if this is all a ruse and we're finally getting the long delayed sequel to For Your Eyes Only? The Bond movie that took place on the ski resorts, a snow capped mountain. I'm just saying. Didn't that one have like the little like the little mini jet that he flew around? Oh, the blonde ice skater.
Yeah,
come on,
run together for me.
Sounds good to me.
That was the first Bond movie I ever saw. You always love your first.
You know, Roger Moore. He fought Count Dooku in one of those. Man with the Golden Gun was Count Dooku.
That's true. That was Christopher Lee. You can tell because his head's really tall.
And Count Dooku's home like fortress is on Renvar, an ice planet.
We're finally getting the long delayed crossover.
So anyway, back to the story. Essentially,
back to the non-story.
the non-story, yes. Basically, a lot of people are looking at this as confirmation of early rumors about there being an ice planet of some sort.
Or an icy part of a planet.
So some people are saying that, oh, this is Hoth and blah, 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 blah. But if I had to guess, just based on what we know, this is probably... what they were saying is that you know, there's talk about the Sith homeworld.
Yeah.
And that they're, you know, mining for some kind of weapon or something on this world.
Yeah.
My guess is it would be that. It probably would not be Hoth. It was probably the confirmation that the Sith homeworld is probably going to be an ice planet.
I'm taking bets. The Sith homeworld was known previously as Korriban. Still kind of is. Okay. In the Star Wars Clone Wars, they referred to it as Moriban.
Right.
Yep.
If we hear the Sith homeworld in the new movies, is it going to be Moriban? Are they going to come up with yet another Sith homeworld?
No, supposedly Clone Wars is canon.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
I would say Moriban.
Also,
if I had to guess.
Moriban, a lot of people are saying it's just another name for Korriban because they did for Moriban in Clone Wars were pretty much Korriban, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I would say it'd be Oribond.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
I'd say it'd be Origel.
Because they're alphabet. Mining.
I was thinking
they're mining
the same
ore.
Thing.
Origel.
No, because it's more Korriban, and then you skip an L. And you go,
oh, geez, he's going math on us. He's finding the pattern. Garrick,
I know my alphabet.
SATs half your lifetime ago. You don't have to keep doing it, man.
I can do
better. Okay, so moving on to other sets. Have you guys seen the new leaked photos this week? We've got them posted to our webpage on Facebook.com.
I'm supposed to click on a thing.
I'm sorry.
Like I don't even
podcast.
Go to our website.
Yeah, I know. What's that about?
So if you go there, we've got pictures posted of the new, and it's stuff that we had a couple weeks ago. If you remember, there was a story about the flight instructor that flew over and thought he was looking at an experimental aircraft.
Yeah.
It still could be.
Anyway, some more detailed and closer up photos of that particular location have hit the web. So... you can see a little bit closer of the Millennium Falcon that's kind of half built.
Yeah, that black and orange one the black and orange X-Wing that people have been saying, oh, I don't know, that could have just been like under blah, blah, blah. No, these pictures are pretty clear that is a black and orange X-Wing.
Yes, it is.
That is not an unpainted thing.
Right. So, and this is the location itself looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like an outdoor hangar of some sort.
Yeah.
And,
I want that to be kept around X-Wing.
There is a lot of activity on this set, including... some actors that have been captured here.
I want to camp there. I want to take my camper and camp there.
Pretty cool.
While they're shooting. That would be amazing.
Well, that would be noisy. That would just keep me awake. No.
And we'll talk about some of the characters that were caught at this location in our rumors section. But these pictures, if you have not seen them, again, facebook.com/FlightCasualPodcast. We've got them posted there. Pretty cool. Pretty detailed.
Good plug, Mike.
You like that, man?
Well done. I'm clicking through pictures. I'm not even paying attention. Well done, sir.
So yeah, some good stuff there. So check out those pictures if you have not seen those yet.
Yes.
And
those
then
are a lot nicer
the last couple
round.
Items. I'm just going to leave to we've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. So there's a couple of stories in here that I'm going to point to and just let. You, the listener, kind of go out and explore these on your own.
That's Mike telling us to shut up, Garrick.
Oh, first, there was
sorry,
a,
my bad.
There's a couple of neat articles out this week.
Shutting up, sir. Shutting up now.
There's an article in the International Business Times with Carrie Fisher that was pretty cool. In the past, she's kind of indicated that she felt like Star Wars ruined her life and stuff like that. And I think she's kind of come full circle and is embracing
things. Yeah, now she feels
now.
Like Star Wars has solidified her retirement.
And it has. So there's a neat Carrie Fisher article there. And actually, there's a new book coming out by author Chris Taylor. If you go to, he writes for Mashable.com. And he's kind of went back and explored the original trilogy.
and kind of have dispelled some of the myths. A lot of those, you know, George Lucas and some of the producers and whatnot are kind of getting older and things like that. And he's trying to kind of go out and preserve some history, I guess. So if you're interested in, you know, some of those stories regarding the creation of the first three movies and how a lot of that went down, he's got some cool interview tidbits with Gary Kurtz, who produced A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And there's some really neat stuff in there. So cool. I would encourage folks that are interested in kind of the behind the scenes stuff from the original trilogy to check those out.
Cool. Cool. What's the second part of that? Or was that the both of them?
That's both of them.
Oh, okay. So,
yep.
In reversed order.
In reverse.
As I was reading second item, I went, that sounds familiar, like Mike just said it.
Hey, you got to go in order, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. We got lost here.
Yeah, yeah. Way to tie news off there, Mike.
Nice little guys are looking at the show notes going, you got in a lot of order, you son of a bastard.
What does Gary Kurtz have to do with Princess Leia? I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, well, hey, you know what that means, ladies and germs. That means it's time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You look forward to it.
I do.
You can't sleep if you don't get it.
I do. I love my Porkins. I love it.
Everybody needs some Porkins.
Yeah. But a Porkins never hurt nobody.
Get a little Porkins in me right now.
Did you know that the duo who played Porkins was also the voice of Falcor in Neverending Story?
What?
Part
what?
Three.
Oh, I didn't know.
Part three, huh?
Is that straight to video?
I feel like I was banging it. Like, it was like, oh, Neverending Story, part three.
Oh, man.
Was that the one with, like,
what a roller coaster ride.
Reanimated corpse? I don't know.
Oh, ouch.
What?
Also, is that the one with River Phoenix in?
Oh.
I'm a bad person.
Oh, man.
I'm a bad person.
No, that was the one with Rob. It's too soon.
Oh, what? You can't stop now.
I think I've said enough.
Yeah, he can. Gary, he can it. Stop. Gary, I got it.
Fine.
We're naming famous people.
Never mind.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Never you mind. Let's just jump right into the toy report, shall we?
Oh,
we need a palate cleanser.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Garrick, how's it going, brother?
Have you heard me talk about the prototype Boba Fett they have at Walgreens?
Oh,
once or twice. Yeah. Once or twice.
Two times.
Hey, guess what? I scored one.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you finally?
You know, that's why I didn't find one at my local Walgreens, because you
that's
came
right.
and got it.
This
I went
to everyone.
I figured that went down with you actually confronting the un-Garrick, the guy who keeps taking things before you get there.
Challenger.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Collector X.
His arch rival.
I got one up on him this time.
I feel like Collector X is like an angry veteran in a wheelchair. Or something. He can't even talk. He's like, his speech is all screwed up, but like he just glares at Garrick and Garrick shakes his fist.
Yeah. I just hold my bag up and shake it back and forth so he can't reach it. Because he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
I can't get it.
No, that's wonderful.
It's me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So anyway, I got a little tip maybe for people who can't find these, because Twitter and Facebook and all the collectors forums are full of people just trying to get their hands on these, and they're hard. Believe me, I know. I've been everywhere. But on the Walgreens website, at least the ones I've looked at, a lot of the stores will still say they have them in stock, even though they don't. So what I did...
You mean they don't have a current, up-to-date version? I'm surprised.
Yeah, can you believe it? Walgreens, I know. They're usually on top of things. But what I did is I pre-ordered it, knowing they didn't have it. And the order went through, and I went to and it said, hey, your order will be ready to pick up in 2 hours. So I'm like, sweet. Maybe they do have it after all. So I waited 2 hours, went to the store, and of course they don't have it.
Of course
not. But what
not.
They said is, let us take down your name, your phone number, and next time we get one in, we'll give you a call to come pick it up. So I'm like, they wrote it down on a receipt, and I'm thinking, yeah, right, they're never going to call me. So a couple weeks go by, sure enough, I got a phone call.
Wow.
And they said, we got a prototype Buffett and a Sand Trooper. Which one do you want? I'm thinking both, but no, they said no. You can have one. We gotta you know, let the other people have one because these are in high
demand.
There's
an angry veteran so in like, a wheelchair right here glaring at me. I can only give you one. I'm sorry.
So I was like, I guess I'll take the prototype Boba Fett if I have to. I ended up getting that. So if that ends up working for people, you know, let us know because
Garrick exits the store with his prototype Fett and then puts on the Groucho glasses with the nose and mustache and walks by and goes, "Do you have a sand trooper?"
My good man. You had a sand trooper here.
Mr. Apothecary, my understanding.
The apothecary. But
next time I go to the pharmacist, I'm going to address him as apothecary and see how that, where that gets me.
So if that technique doesn't work for you, there's still a little bit of hope you have left. Because there was recent news that Stephen Ann, who is a Walgreens purchaser for these kind of items like action figures and whatnot,
right,
posted on Twitter that he knew people were trying to find these and having trouble. So they are shipping out cases of eight of the Boba Fetts to 5,000 stores nationwide.
Oh, wow.
So that's 40,000 of these going out into the market in November.
Oh, man. What are they going to do with all the Bratz dolls taking up this space on the shelf right now?
I guess they'll just put them with the tampons.
It wouldn't be Bratz. It would be Monster High.
So there's just a little heads up. There's roughly 8,000 or so Walgreens in America. And 5,000 and 40,000 Fets are going out. So yeah. There might be a chance you could find one. They're pretty cool. But anyway, these Black Series figures are kind of crap.
If really?
You ask me. Compared to other figures that are coming out, that is. So this Hot Toys is now coming out with a movie accurate Han Solo and Chewbacca 6-scale figures.
Yes. Those are pretty cool.
They are pretty sweet. I mean, there's pictures of these everywhere. They are amazing looking. They got the details dead on.
And I couldn't believe it because the Chewie actually looks a little better than the Han. And that's not usually the case.
Right. They're crafted after images they found in the film. I mean, Chewbacca has has brown fabric hair throughout the whole body. So it's not just like a plastic mold that in the shape of hair.
Yeah.
It's actually individual fibers for the hairs.
But it's not just sticking out like a lion's mane. No, like, is it Chewbacca or Mustafa?
They
I don't
look
know.
Dead on. And they include all these little things that come with like Han comes with a stormtrooper belt. And of course his blaster, the DL-44
right.
And a blaster rifle. And also I think Chewie comes with a heavy blaster as well. But yeah, they are awesome. The set will probably cost about, I think, $480 for both of them.
Oh my God. I didn't know they were that expensive. Wow.
So if you guys want to go in for a Christmas present for me. Yeah. I'm officially putting it out there.
Who's going to pay for $470 worth?
We have pictures on our Twitter and our Facebook page of these.
I'm looking at the Twitter right now.
Incredible. Like, they are worth every penny of that.
Lovely.
If you have that to throw around, I guess.
Lovely. Good.
Yeah. And last thing, Toys R Us, I just went in there and I've been posting pictures on the interwebs through Twitter and Facebook as well. They are now having a special Star Wars / Marvel section that takes up two aisles in their store.
Wow. What? And who stores?
Toys R Us.
Really?
Wow. They are chock full of Star Wars awesomeness.
The nice thing about that is that they've kind of been lumping all of that stuff in together for a while now.
Like, right.
Before the merge, even. Or the buyout, or whatever you want to call it. But, like, the Star Wars section, like, it was at the point where it's pretty much, like, shoulder to shoulder with Tops.
Yeah.
You know, and always the bottom third of that is just plastic lightsabers hanging there.
Yeah. And the vehicles. I mean, it was just like
they've got these out now.
I'm
gonna have to pop in.
They've rolled it out the one near my house, and I've seen pictures of people around the country. They've started rolling out there. Cool. They have the 31-inch Jack specific characters, and I posted it on the internet, and we had a few funny comments on those. Some to the effect that they come alive and eat your pets at night.
They don't make batteries big enough, so you got to have some source.
Those things are crazy.
They are seriously frightening.
They are.
They had the Vader. They had a 501st clone. clone trooper.
Yeah, and I told my wife I wanted the stormtrooper, and she said, over my dead body, that thing's going to come to life.
No, yes.
I'm not kidding. That was her exact response. She's like, no, that thing will come to life when we're asleep.
I have one in my room. My family thought it was real funny to buy my son one for his birthday. Yeah. So I've got giant Darth Vader in our room brooding over us at night. So.
Oh, every now and then a car drives by at night real quiet, like a Prius goes by and he just hears. He's like, was it you? And then Mike closes his eyes, because if he keeps his eyes closed, then it can't be.
And then he's standing over you.
Yeah, and you don't hang a hand off the edge of the bed, because then Vader will grab it.
I came around the corner of the aisle, and it just caught me off guard, and I looked at him. I almost jumped back, because the Inquisitor was like eye level with me.
Oh, man,
and he's taller than my daughter, who's two. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, my God, these are frightening, but they are really cool.
No, seriously, when I was 3 years old, I remember visiting my uncle's house, and they had, like, big robot, like, remote control robots. Not like the 80s, like, you know, Rocky IV kind of robots, but like,
you're welcome, Mike. What a reference.
Would you like a beer? You know, not like that. But like, kind of like these action figures, more or less, you know, but they had a Godzilla that was, it had wheels in its feet and it could move around and its eyes lit up and it made that sound. And they chased me around the house. Now, this thing moved at the speed of not moving at all and probably couldn't even move on carpet. But I was so panicked that it was like, I was like the girl in the hacker slasher film where every step I took, I was falling down because I'm trying to get away from this thing. And it's actually gaining on me somehow in all of its 9-volt glory. And I was terrified. That thing was made in what, the 70s, 80s? So it probably had no detail whatsoever. The paint, you know, like the teeth paint is probably up around the eye or something horrible like that. These things actually look really good.
Yeah.
Especially for the price and the size.
If I had one and it was in a different place from where I remembered putting it, I'd probably burn my house down.
You go to get it to show somebody and it's gone and you're like, oh,
done.
Yeah. The house is kind of ruined now.
It was
haunted.
Worth it. It was really worth it.
All I gotta say is go back and watch Poltergeist and look for the clown scene. Tis the season. Halloween's coming, and I have to watch Poltergeist every year because I love that movie. But that darn clown, man, he throws the jacket over the clown, and then he looks, and then the clown's not there anymore.
Oh, stop it. You just freaked me out.
And then he looks over the edge of the bed.
See, I like the guy that tears his own face off. That's my favorite.
You like Joker? The lame parts? Actually, my favorite thing is right before that. It's the steak crawling across the counter by itself. Yeah. The caterpillar steak. Yeah. I'm like, who comes up with that? How much marijuana do you have to smoke to go, you know what would freak me out?
Dude.
If a cut of beef was moving on its own accord. I won't get over that stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, check out Toys R Us. They got cool stuff.
I will do so.
Yeah,
being a fan of cool stuff like I am. Speaking of cool stuff, I know somebody who thinks his poop doesn't stink anymore. He thinks he's hot stuff or cool stuff.
Who's as that?
It were. Well, he was on the podcast a few episodes ago, and ever since then, ever since then, his Earthlink account is just lit up with from his old people ring. And, you know,
on his 486 machine.
Yeah. Suddenly he used to just send out forward after forward of forward this, or you're going to crash your car the next day, or the engine will blow up like Mike or something like that. But now all it is, he's constantly sending out emails to his other old AARP friends about this podcast that he was on, and he's been bugging me because he wants to come back on the podcast. So
I didn't realize we were having a guest tonight.
So of course I said tonight we would let him be on the podcast.
Wow. You ready for this, Howie?
I don't know.
Let him back on now. I told him to be a little less abusive this time.
Yeah, but I'm afraid I'm going to get punched in the Jimmy John's.
He's
just be careful. Jimmy just be careful Jones. About what we say.
Let me see if he's ready.
Hey,
old man.
Hey, come on. Hi, Papaw. How you doing?
It's Papaw again.
Papaw Jen.
Who the hell are you?
Yay.
Oh, Papaw.
There's different lighting in this room. Things have changed. I don't know what's going on.
It's a different room.
Here.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Right out loud. You get more room than you can deal with. What's with all the furniture stacked in the corner? You people getting ready for a bomb raid or something like that?
Something.
You got enough light there, old timer?
Probably. Let me adjust the bifocals on the. Got new specs the other day. Every three steps, I get dizzy and fall down, break a hip. But hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Good, right. I like Harrison Ford.
Oh, well.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I don't drive one of those anymore.
Many people don't.
No, no. Wanted to sit down and have a word with you, gentlemen. Oh, there's a spider crawling right down onto your iPad as we speak. Look at that fella. Just drop him on the Macintosh. That's fine. Nobody likes those things anyway.
He's crawling over me now.
Burn it.
Now we have to set Howie on fire now. Oh, goodness sake. Hey, wanted to put together a few words wanted to share with you boys.
Yeah.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Those words came from Orson Welles, recited during the opening of the War of the Worlds radio play, a dramatization that explored the deeper hypothesis of how humankind would react should an alien master race use their superior technology to watch from the skies in order to ultimately undo the very fabric of society.
Yes.
Well, now it's the 21st century, fella, and any fudge-brained nincompoop with motor skills and a Diners Club card can take a detailed video of your neighbor's marital indiscretions as he stews in his hot tub like a bacteria-filled lump of beef nestled between two bruised potatoes and a limp carrot.
You need to get your camera out of my house.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know what who's told you. How can an invasion of such sweaty, passionate privacy be possible, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Drones, of course.
Oh, no.
Oh, drones. Oh.
That's our radio-controlled watches in the sky. Have you boys heard about these?
I did.
Yeah. Our auto-avian eyewitnesses. Our quadricoptering Our quadricoptering inquisitors. Our rotary-bladed beholders. And, well, let's be honest, our acne-covered pop culture enthusiasts with a vitamin D deficiency.
Because they don't go outside.
That's why. He's wise to it.
Eric.
Call it out there so the listeners can know. Call it what you want, but ultimately this boils down to the fact that someone was dumb enough to give nerds the gift of flight. And approximately 3/4 of their awkward teenage dreams have now come true. I'll leave it up to you to figure out what the other quarter was. If it weren't for these low-cost electro-looky-loos, these guys would still be tucked firmly in their mother's basements, grinding out their next level in World of Duty or Donkey Craft or some such nonsense.
Donkey Craft. Stacking donkeys.
We had to go all Daedalus and take our greasy, bespectacled Icaruses. We took our Icari to the skies, and now we have the gonads to act surprised when they go soaring off toward the sun, slovenly drooling like it's Carrie Byron in a Slinky R2 dress.
Wow.
But of course, these nerds are out of control, and the movie industry is feeling the pinch, don't you know? The folks at Pinewood Studios ain't exactly far into the concept, as drone flybys are a regular occurrence, buzzing in and furiously taking snapshots and videos like a Japanese family at a Starbucks next to Niagara Falls. They've had more leaks than Elton John after a night out with David Hasselhoff and Betty Ford. Because of drones, we've seen pictures of the Millennium Falcon, some X-Wings, some pilots, and, well, some other X-Wings, but so there's X-Wings and the Falcon and there's pilots and, well, I guess we knew all that. Are we really supposed to be surprised by any of this? I mean, boy, they've really gone all Walter Peck on the containment unit this time, haven't they? No one's getting this Twinkie back in the basement. Am I right, boys?
Jeez. Yes.
I can recall back to when I was stationed in London during the big one.
Big what?
Let me get to the punchline, Mike. As long as the sirens weren't going off, the only aerial attack you had to worry about was an angry pigeon dropping a hot BM on your turkey on rye. Take it from me as a lesson learned, fellas. Never close your eyes when biting into a sandwich.
It's good life.
That ain't no helmets, believe you me.
So how can
the movie industry come to protect their closely guarded secrets? Well, the fine folks at Pinewood have ordered
in for a drone shield. Yes. Which until yesterday, I believe that to be a primetime drama on CBS. I've since been informed that it's just an alarm that goes off when drones are nearby. So what? Provided it glows blue and can be recalibrated from drones to octogenarian retirees dressed as orcs, well, let's just say Papaw's Hobbit cosplay is nearly complete.
I didn't know.
As a Lord of the Rings reference.
Ah, yes.
It's a hairy feet.
But who's got a camera in my house now? But ain't this all just much ado about nothing? So what if we get a peek at some earth-bermed hangars and a handful of starfighters, including a custom black and orange X-Wing that is no doubt destined for the cover of Low Fighter magazine, featured with a sound-synced ground effects package and a recumbent Twi'lek on the fuselage and a white t-shirt and a pair of jorts holding her Le Coup back to leave absolutely no doubt that her eyebrows were in fact drawn on painstakingly with a Sharpie. Oh. Watch your grocery checkout counters for that one. No. But so what if we get to whet our appetites with a handful of sneak peeks? As long as you're not out there doing something completely foolhardy, aren't the fans just going to get more excited? And perhaps therein lies the answer that Pinewood's really looking for. Hmm? If you want to protect yourself from leaks, you have to make your production process less appealing to the fans. George Lucas knew it.
He was a master.
That's why he spray-painted the lining of his indoor pool neon green and shot three prequels in it. Had a drone managed to make its way through his front door and across the foyer, all it would have found was a costume rack, a craft services table, and an easy-go golf cart parked inexplicably behind the bar.
Or explicably.
The man loves his golf carts, is what I'm saying. But fans are excited about the practical effects, so Abrams can't just cut bait and decide to go green screen everything in at this point. Even Anthony Daniels nearly choked on a crumpet when Abrams even insinuated animating 3PO rather than stuff the 68-year-old into an aluminum costume and tell him to do the robot like Dancing Machine by the Jackson 5.
Dancing Machine.
That's a little YouTube homework for you, Howie. Oh, okay. No, the answer, boys, is far simpler and surprisingly inexpensive. And I can assure the fine folks at Lucasfilm that the drone invasions will cease almost entirely. See, I figured it out.
Yeah.
Provided ain't busy, all they have to do is pay Ahmed Best to stand around with a Jar Jar hat on.
Oh, there we go.
And the enthusiast media coverage will dry up instantaneously. After all, if you can convince your audience that Jar Jar's in your film, they'll act as if your film doesn't exist at all. That there's a guarantee you can take to the bank. Yes. And that's
Abrams
my two
needs
bits.
To listen to this.
JJ, pay attention.
That's just a little insight for you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. I feel incited.
I wish you a good day. I'm going to go wiser back now. And have another decaf coffee and some Withers Originals.
Some Sanka.
Thanks,
Papaw. Thanks, Papaw.
Bye.
Thanks for stopping by.
Love you, Papaw.
Where did you go off to?
You know, we wonder what he does during the day, and I guess that's it.
Yeah,
we know.
Werther's Original, that's what.
Oh, man. I find him stuck to the bottom of virtually everything in the house. It's like he sucks on him for 5 seconds and gets bored or forgets where he is or what he's doing. I heard that, you son of a... Everything's fine.
You need to let him out of the basement once in a while.
Well, you know... Last time we did that, we caught him wandering around in an open robe and Sometimes you need to keep Papaw behind closed doors. Just put it simply. Understood. So, hey, but you know what that means? It means that we've come to that time in the show where it's time to open up the robe.
Yes.
Oh.
Really let the air in.
Is it my favorite?
Mike's getting excited. Is it my favorite?
It's time for rumors.
Yay! Oh, it's rumors?
It's time to get hot up on some of that sweet hot rumors, Josh.
Get up in it. All right.
Am I right?
You guys ready? We got some hot juicy stuff going on this week,
man. I think buzz is a fueling.
Buzz is a fueling. Fueling is a buzz.
What?
Buzz fueling. All right.
Buzz Fuelington.
Oh, he's reading off the thing.
I don't even know what's going on.
Howie started it. I didn't do that.
I'm just looking at each other. I'm about ready to go get Papaw to come back in here. Sub in while I go pout about being in the movie.
All right. So spinoffs are in the news this past week. Spinoff movies, right? We have, they're all set, right? We already know that it's Boba Fett and Han Solo and Red 5, right?
And the Mon Mothma serial.
Nothing can change that, right?
That will be featured on the Lifetime Movie Network. As I recall, there's going to be a Salacious Crumb special.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be on Sprout.
Love me quacking monkey lizards.
Spike. There was something on Spike.
Yeah, it was just, I believe it was called Gold Bikinis A-Poppin'.
Bikinis A-Poppin'.
As I recall. Hosted by Art Man. Art Man presents Gold Bikinis A-Poppin'.
Art Man. Good old
Art Man. I knew there was a better joke in there somewhere.
Friend of the show,
Art
Man. Yes, all right. Well, there's new rumors going around that we got another one in the hopper.
More rumors.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is now rumored to be having his own spinoff.
What?
As a ghost?
He's dead.
Yes, as a ghost.
CG Alleghenis.
Post-Return of the Jedi.
Voiced by Anthony Daniels.
Is there going to be any making pottery in this movie?
Unfortunately, he has to be CGI.
A little pottery wheel and...
Obi-Wan Kenobi is supposedly getting his own spinoff now.
I know Whoopi needs work.
And the reason this came up, there's a story in the Metro, at the Metro website in the UK... that basically said that the production team behind Boba Fett is having trouble getting it off the ground.
The
reason being...
why?
Because they don't have the most popular character from all of filmdom ever, you know, to just
they're having trouble
printing money for them.
Here's the problem. What they're running into is that they're trying to build an entire film around a character, so they want you to like the character.
It took a long time for the EU to cultivate that kind of thing.
Well, but that's what they're running into. It's like, how do we make people like him, but still keep him as a dick?
He was going to be rated R, wasn't it? Contract killer that murders for money with the heart of gold.
That's Deadpool movie.
But he's not psychotic.
Rumors, reports are, none of this is official, but so reports are that they're looking at other options, and the obvious one was an Obi-Wan spinoff.
Right.
And apparently, Ewan McGregor has expressed some interest in this.
Really? I'm surprised that Ewan McGregor is kind of like, I'd rather do Trainspotting 2. Play the part of the suppository going through the toilet pipes.
I think Ewan McGregor has realized, this is a paycheck.
Oh, yeah, big paycheck.
Exactly.
Giant Slayer.
We've talked about this before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No.
Sorry, Howie.
I think maybe he's more interested too because I hate to say it this way, but George Lucas isn't involved anymore.
Yeah, maybe he's looking at it going, hey, maybe I could actually enjoy playing this character
working with someone that's got a little more creative vision.
Yeah,
and so
and a set.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. maybe there'll be something I can interact with.
Yeah, look
maybe he won't even have to make his own lightsaber sounds now.
He could prove it. He can actually prove that. I mean, I don't think anyone. Well, I don't know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head who would say that that Ewan McGregor was a bad Obi-Wan.
No, I don't know. But
no one ever talks about how great he was as Obi-Wan either, because those films sucked.
Yeah.
When it came to how an actor approaches a character,
right. But we've talked about this. I mean, was that the actor's fault?
No, exactly. And I say it's not the actor's fault, right. and it was the whole design of the production
the process. Yeah.
So yeah, not the design, but this the way the process was put together, like you said, and so I think maybe this is his opportunity to go, I can do this and actually show people
that I can that do I the can character do I that care about well. The character
yeah, that I care and that right. I want and right. Hey, if that's the case,
I'll tell you what, after the prequels too, because he's famously kind of come out or came out initially when they were done after episode 3 and was just kind of like, yeah, maybe these weren't the best movies
talked a little smack.
Yeah,
right.
Fair enough.
While you're at it, make it a musical.
Ooh,
that dude can sing.
Come what may. Come what
Did you say kumquat man?
So let me ask this. I mean, we like getting into this and talking about, okay, the what ifs. And I mean, if they do put an Obi-Wan together.
Oh, Garrett, could it be called Talon Rouge?
Oh. Yeah.
Back to track. So, I mean, what do we think about this? You guys want to see an Obi-Wan movie? I mean, the obvious to me is that, you know, at the end of episode 3, he's gone into his solitude and you know, that's how we know him to be for 20 years. But there's other people saying, well, no, he had adventures between the time he, dropped off Luke in episode 4, right?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I have always found Obi-Wan to be very vanilla.
He absolutely is.
That's the most vanilla, and I don't usually find vanilla very interesting.
Yep.
The thing is, like, when it was Alec Guinness, he was interesting because he's like, I'm an old dude and I could have done things differently. I made some mistakes and everything went real south and I'm trying to make amends. And that was kind of interesting.
Right.
But then the prequels came along and it wasn't actually Obi-Wan that made any of those calls. It was Qui-Gon and then the council. Obi-Wan's just along for the ride.
Right.
And hey, guess what? You got promoted because you're a team player. So now you're a master on the council and you've never really shaken anything up, you know? And it's just kind of like, well, yeah, he's really, he's a BA, you know, he has his Bachelor of Arts, but it's kind of like at the same token, he's just so bleh. So if they can find a way to make Obi-Wan not bleh, but yet not also make it completely out of character,
right.
Which is really, how do you do that? I don't know.
And then that goes back to the challenge that they're having with Boba Fett. Just the things that you're bringing up, it seems to me they're going to be presented with similar challenges, developing an Obi-Wan character.
I've always loved Obi-Wan, and I've always wanted them to explore. I've always wanted to see.
You're one of them that loves, because I hear a lot of people love Obi-Wan.
I love him because I think there's a bit of mystery to him for me, and I know there's more there that I haven't seen.
Well,
no one showed.
We can't give you that much more insight. Other than the prequel novels, there's not a lot of extra Obi-Wan.
That's my point.
Yeah. He's one of those characters, him and Yoda.
I think there is things there. I think there's a lot more depth to the character that hasn't been explored as much. Yeah, okay. That has not been explored, and gotcha. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit of mystery to him, because I think there's a lot more there that, because he's vanilla, that's just the way he's been portrayed. I think there's more to him.
What if Obi-Wan, in the time that Luke is, a child, what if he gets just really dark? He's in solitude for so long. He gets turns really the dark side
and defeats Palpatine.
No, not like turns the dark side, but like goes like kind of goth.
Yeah.
And the whole movie
wears his fangs down in his eyes. Yeah. Smoking. Yeah, he's straight up doing the death sticks.
The whole movie is just inside of his mind.
He does random jazz numbers in Manhattan cafes.
Except women in Mos Eisley.
Yeah. You know, the little Tiana sister nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
He does have illegitimate children, right?
What if there's a bunch of little Obi-Wanders running around?
Obi-Wanders.
Ooh, that's a new band.
Yeah.
The Obi-Wanders. Okay.
I think it is.
I'm copywriting that.
I think that's an a cappella band that does vocal movie scores with their mouths.
So kind of maybe not that with this, a spinoff movie for Obi-Wan, maybe not, huh? Not as interesting of a character maybe as a Han Solo.
I would approach that one with absolutely no expectations.
Yep.
If I didn't have a podcast and know everything about it by the time it happens. Right. But like I would approach that going, hey, okay, whatever, and then hope that I get excited, hope that I enjoy it, but there is no draw for the character by himself for me to go, yeah, I would be drawn to Star Wars, but not Obi-Wan specifically.
Right.
So, whatevs. Okay. Yeah. I think, pardon me while I just send the mic everywhere.
Yeah, just drape that over.
I'm actually just going to wrap it around my arm and then flail about.
This is amateur hour.
That's my goal. I would rather see them take a small character. I mean, Boba Fett was a small character, but he's not now.
Right.
He's too familiar. I would rather them take a character that we barely scratched or was in the background somewhere. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm excited about Rebels. These are all brand new characters.
Sure.
That's, to me, more exciting than finding out more about a character that I already know the beginning and the end of.
I don't know, man.
Like Dengar.
Yeah. Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about Admiral Ackbar.
Ooh,
I wouldn't mind an Ackbar backstory. He showed up in Clone Wars, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind some characters like that, their background. I wouldn't mind a Mon Mothma. I joked about it a minute ago.
You're never gonna get that.
No, you're never ever gonna explore a
character that's that small.
But what's wrong with that? You know, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Rebels is so insanely successful that they realize, hey, wait, people can actually appreciate a completely cleansed palate. Because yeah. We guess what? We can. We're consumers. We're not all idiots.
Well, we're for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's made all the money.
Yep.
It did.
Nobody knew it. We're all the hardcore
comic nerds who knew who those characters were.
I didn't know.
Where it was.
Prior to the movie, I had no clue.
I did. Because I'm a hardcore nerd, man.
That's right.
Well, what I'm saying is I didn't. And I still enjoyed it.
That's right. See, there you go.
I enjoyed it and then read Garrick's comics afterward.
True. All right. So, have you guys seen the new pictures that have come out this
week? New pictures?
Now I'm excited.
Okay, wait.
We're going to have to be more specific.
We got nude pictures of stormtroopers. You guys haven't heard about those?
How do you know they're stormtroopers if they're nude?
Are they just wearing the belt and the mask?
The belt and the bucket. Yeah, they found Han and Luke's discarded belts and put them on. Yeah.
So. Oh. Now,
there's new leaked in quotes photos this week from Indie Revolver that have come out, and we've heard some rumors early on about a special kind of stormtrooper, and they were kind of calling them chrome troopers, and people were kind of being described as
they load quickly.
Google Chrome, right? Google Chrome
troopers. Yeah. They load quickly. They support plugins.
So what the early rumors were is that there was going to be like an elite type of stormtrooper that would possibly be guarding the villainous character, the Sith character in the movie. And but now we've got leaked photos of these. And have you guys seen them? I know Garrick has.
Yeah, we have them on Facebook. That's how he says everything, Garrick. I know Garrick has.
Did someone just on our Facebook page, I can't remember who it was, I'm sorry, but they commented something like they look like a villain from a 1820s movie with the mustache.
1820s movie?
With the mustache.
Yeah, I believe that was called a play. A stage play. I believe it was another one of our friends from the UK.
Oh, man. Who was saying when I said that.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be tying lay to the railroad tracks. I knew exactly where he's going the second I started reading it, too. I was like, Yeah, you can kind of see the mustache.
Uh-oh, we're losing Garrick.
Oh, hey, Garrick.
See?
Hey.
Cut his feed.
I think he's cutting his feed.
Does he know that he's doing this right now?
No, I don't think he can hear us.
Actually, he could have been done like 20 seconds ago, and we're just still getting the chopped up version.
That's true.
What?
Yeah, he just now heard that.
What? Whoa, going on?
Disconnect, Garrick.
Should we take a quick pause?
Disconnect him.
You back, Garrick?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
All right. Mustache.
Mustache. Yeah, so that was hilarious, that guy that said that.
It was.
So these pictures, I don't know, any reactions to them? I mean, they look pretty...
chromey.
They're shiny and chrome. Well, one is shiny and chrome. The other one's kind of beat up a little bit.
I like to
brushed
think
aluminum.
Them as stainless troopers, not chrome troopers.
So my
initial reaction would be that, I mean, they're pretty similar in style to the leaked photos of the normal stormtrooper helmets that we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah. They're kind of a little more streamlined than the classic stormtrooper helmets. Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know what to think about them other than like, okay.
I just hope to dear God that they actually have a name that someone says in the film.
Not like, Chrome Trooper.
So that we don't, from now on, everyone calls them Chrome Troopers. That will bother the heck out of me.
Like, dude, what if one sweet action figure though. Instead of a Ithorian?
Exactly. We got the word Ithorian far too late to combat the fact that everyone calls them Hammerhead.
They've
got like 12 throats.
They talk out of the side of their hammer.
Is it made out of the same material that Amidala's ship?
Yes, I believe so.
Except the fact that it will actually be a material instead of just something that exists on a hard drive somewhere.
Well, I have to admit, the white plastic of a stormtrooper's outfit doesn't really seem like it adds protection.
It's plastoid.
Oh,
yeah. Howie.
Get it right, Howie.
Come on.
Good Lord.
Howie's read a book. Like he just doesn't know.
Yeah, but in reality, it's called plastic. That it was shot in a film.
Well, in reality, lightsabers are called sticks. Yep. And they're still awesome too.
Yeah.
I don't know that they call plastoid awesome.
Well, yeah, it is.
So plastisteel. You guys think these are the real deal? Any reaction to them other than, you know,
they're fake.
You think they're fake?
Know. Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Seems legit to me. Yeah, I don't know.
Either way. I want there to be more variation. I don't want there just to be more white stormtroopers. It's because the first time you see them, oh, they look different. And then from that moment on, they're the same stormtroopers they always were. Right. As long as they're running in formation and shooting really poorly. Right. You know, so
you liked what they did with the prequels better, where you had more variation of the troopers.
Yeah.
Don't think of the fact that you don't like the prequels. I'm not
saying that I don't like the prequels.
I get it. Okay, you don't like them as much as the original.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's easy. I just don't want to see them being cannon fodder. I want them to be more meaningful. I want them to be menacing. Stormtroopers were scary the first time around, even though they were bumbling idiots, sure, bumping their heads on the doors that weren't open all the
right,
way.
Right.
My favorite scene in the
They
first
were missing
movie.
On purpose to let them go.
Yes.
Because the tracker was planted on the Millennium Falcon.
That's true. This is accurate.
Yes.
But by the same token, I want them to be menacing. I want them to be scary. I want them to be something that is an actual frightening threat. I want to feel a little bit of that, you know.
Yeah, right.
And if they're, I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're rainbow striped hippies. If they just run in formation and fall down, then right, I don't care. Whatever.
And I don't think they'll get that kind of treatment. And I honestly, I don't think George Lucas meant to give them that treatment in the original trilogy. Maybe in Return of the Jedi a little bit.
Yeah.
But and the other two, I don't think that he meant for them to be bumbling and whatnot.
Nope. But yet it still can kind of happen. I mean, part of it was that they couldn't see anything.
Right. Well, yeah, I get that. But
and the other part of it is that they were fodder. They were cannon fodder. Yeah, they were sure there to take the shots. And sure, I want them right to be more than that.
Yeah. My impression of J.J. Abrams is that he'll give them a better treatment.
I want to see them act like elite, you know,
yeah, troopers.
Like they've right, got their patterns down pat. They've got their, you know, their door breaches and all that.
The way the clones were portrayed in the prequels. Yeah, the Republic Commandos. Troops and, yeah,
yeah, I want them to, well, yeah, I want them to act more like Republic Commandos and not even in the Clone Wars, it felt pushed. Yeah, they had the hand signals and stuff like that, but it still felt extremely elementary. Like no one was actually saying this is how they should do this to a degree where it felt like everyone who did an episode, you were just getting a new version of them.
Except in that one episode, you want to get
some military kind of
yes
guy in there on set telling these guys how to move and
yes
act. And
I want them. I want them like
in that one episode of the Clone Wars when they did that.
Well, maybe in that one episode, yeah.
When they were doing training on Kamino with the new troopers. Yep, they did that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the rest of the time it was just all people running through hallways without any care in the world as to what was shooting at them or doing anything. And I want things to feel like a threat. I want a laser blast to be scary. Not like terrifying, like, oh, the kid just, you know, pissed all over the theater seat. But I want it to be like, oh, geez, you know, that shook me a little.
Right, right.
That's what I
agree.
Ka-chunk. Nothing.
And I think we're going to get a little bit different treatment than we did with Lucas. Because I think, I mean, definitely the prequels, Lucas was more focused on kind of golf, the kid angle.
Oh, yeah. Golf. Oh, sorry. The kid angle.
Yeah. No, the
cooking classes.
Actually, by all accounts, I mean, obviously, most Star Wars fans that are deep, long Star Wars fans always kind of cite Empire as their favorite normally. On except average, Howie. Except Howie.
And Garrick.
The real Star Wars fans like Empire more.
So Garrick and I are not real Star Wars
that's
fans.
That's not what I said. The point I'm trying to make is
Garrick
that
likes Empire. He's just trying to make you not feel bad.
Generally, on average, most people cite Empire. And the thing about Empire was, Empire was the one where George Lucas had the least control on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to this day, maybe that kind of goads him a little
bit.
You
got to believe that somewhere that's just a little,
right,
you know.
Right. But what is it about Empire that people like? It's more brooding. It's a little more realistic, maybe.
I wouldn't say any of that.
It's darker.
I wouldn't say any of that. I would say that the characters actually had interacted with each other.
Right.
And they actually had certain types of rapport. The rapport
but
between
you can't, and I agree with you, but you can't deny that it's a darker flick.
Oh yeah, it's a darker flick.
I mean,
but I don't think that's why it was popular.
I mean, getting back to what we were talking about with stormtroopers, I mean, that's where I'm kind of segueing this. Is that, I mean, the
stormtroopers when you bust in on Bespin, you drop a deuce,
right?
And you're like, oh crap, and there, and Han's gonna try it. Oh, he's got nothing because Vader just totally went. Even the invasion on Hoth, talk to the hand.
You know, ice troopers and stuff. I mean, those guys were bumbling around Hoth. I mean, they were there and they were shooting at him and they were getting ready to take him out. And Vader was leading the charge.
By the time they were coming in, everybody else trying to get out because they knew that they would die,
right,
if they were there with that. So yeah, you're right. You're right. But I really do believe that just such a huge amount of it is, you know, Han and Chewie, their relationship was all Empire. Mm-hmm. All Empire. Star Wars gave you very, you know, New Hope gave you very little insight. But their relationship, you know, from even him like arguing with Chewie about how to fix the Falcon.
Right.
And then like Chewie growling at him when the Falcon's not working. It's not my fault, you know. Or
that
Lando.
That goes there.
All right.
Good stuff. You know? Yeah.
Right. And then, but then Han and Leia having that like, yeah, we got the hots for each other, but we're always mad at each other.
Right, right.
Kind of stuff we understand. Luke, the fact that Luke, the hero of the story, is totally the third wheel or fourth wheel or whatever. Right. Like he's, yeah, they care about him a lot, but he's doing his own thing. Like that is something that people can understand. Oh yeah, we have that friend that although we care about him, he's always independent and doing his own thing. All that stuff would just gave it so much more depth than, you know, hey, I can carve an apple floating in front of my face with the force.
That was pretty sweet, though. I would do that if I had the force.
I'm gonna go ride this animal rodeo style in the field while you laugh and pick daisies.
All right, so cameos, man. We got more cameo stuff in the news this week too, man. Really? At this point,
besides Rob Grummer.
Yes, not just heroes. I mean, this is getting to the point. You know, I wanted to start shooting myself in the head when we kept getting Harrison Ford updates. I'm getting there with the cameo stuff. Yes, the latest report this week.
Tell me who we got, and I'll tell you who they're playing.
Okay. You ready? Here we go.
The rest of the cast of Lost.
Louis Gossett Jr. I mean,
wait, what?
Oh, man. If you could be like an X-Wing instructor.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, man.
No.
Why don't you just leave? I got no place else to go.
I'm just
going to
list them off right here because
you better be ready to stop. If the jokes come, we can't stop them.
Robert Downey Jr.
Booster Tarek.
I already said that. Sorry. I said it was Iron Man, but not Robert Downey Jr.
Booster Tarek.
Hugh Jackman.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Okay,
just I'm in. All right.
I'm in. He can play Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, I got nothing for that one.
I don't see how he fits into Star Wars. I said the wrong. I don't think he's right for it.
Where to get John Boyega? I know.
Oh,
it's not me. It's Star Wars.
that's we're changing the name of the podcast. It's not me.
Movie Star Wars. Daniel Craig.
Yeah, between playing Bond and playing Halo, does that guy have any free time?
So, I mean, of course, then the ones that have come the last few before the last couple weeks, with Mark Ruffalo, Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg.
Ugnot.
So
Mark Ruffalo and Tom Cruise as Ugnots. You won't like those Ugnots when they're angry.
So, I mean, is this... do you guys pay any attention to this? Any credence to this at all?
Was that the whole list, or do you have another one?
No, that's the list I have. But, I mean, there's so many more. I mean, there was a bunch of them right from the beginning. I mean...
Well, you know, we never technically saw Mace Windu die.
People have said this. You're right.
He flew out a window.
I want to choke myself, though.
That's awful. If Mace Windu is still alive, that's just awful.
He's being brought up as a cameo.
I mean, we're talking 50 years later.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Insane. So
not a thing.
No, not a thing.
But,
so,
I think these are just people who really want to be in Star Wars.
Well, yeah. Who doesn't want to really be in Star Wars now that they know someone who doesn't suck is...
Howie's brought this up a couple times.
I'm not just saying George Lucas sucks at making movies. I've said that before. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, George Lucas is this, like, billionaires, like, off in the clouds kind of guy. Now they're like, hey, people are making a Star Wars movie who we know.
Right.
Are people that we can talk to and know us and we know
Howie's
them.
Mentioned, too, that there just seems to be a lot more... buzz about this movie, and maybe that's the reason. It's that people feel like it's maybe it's closer to them now.
Yeah, it's being made by
people that they're familiar with. They know.
You want to know why? With. Because it's being made by Hollywood now,
right? Instead of Lucas,
Disney
right.
and Abrams. That's Hollywood.
Yeah,
right? Lucasfilm was not.
You're right. It
was Hollywood. It was its own random weird right. kingdom.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It was George Wood.
It was Georgie Wood.
Georgie Wood. Lucas Wood.
I don't know. I think it's a little out of control. I mean,
I don't believe
much of this. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I'll, you know, his buddy, you know, Greg and Greg Parkman, whatever. Maybe
it still hurts.
maybe Simon Pegg, but the rest of this, I don't know. Garbage to me. It just seems like.
What if Simon Pegg's in it and Greg plays the dude, the little guy sitting on top of something when Simon Pegg yells, "Get down!"
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a way to make it hurt less. Yeah,
sorry. So I don't know. Any thoughts on these cameos? I mean, it, like I said, just going crazy now.
Sounds like a rumor.
If there's this many of them, you're not going to notice them because otherwise you'd be playing Where's Waldo throughout the whole freaking movie. You know?
Like, nobody wants that.
I totally just saw Peter Fonda. Wait a second.
is he still alive?
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't ever remember which one's the son and which one's the dad.
No idea.
But
All right. So yeah, nothing more on cameos then. I don't want to say it's bugging me. It's just kind of like, ugh. All right.
Yeah.
Gotta cover it.
All right. We'll have more.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
I am sure we will. All right, we got some Luke Skywalker rumors this week.
What?
Not some big stuff.
He's one of those bigger characters in Star Wars, right?
He is.
I think so.
You know, and we don't talk much about Luke, given the fact that he's totes the main character of the first three movies.
Totes. The one thing I took away from this story was that they've kind of backed up. If you remember, we talked... the original rumor about Luke is that he'd been gone for 30 years, and we kind of got some confirmation of that on our last podcast.
Pseudo confirmation.
In the rumor section about the script leak and whatnot. Now, some of that's being backpedaled a little bit, and I'm kind of glad to hear that.
Yes.
They're saying now that it's more like he's been gone for about 10 years. To me, that's a lot more palatable.
Sure it is.
And to me, that sounds like, you know, maybe they originally were, and again, we're talking about this script leak and it was an early draft. And it seems to me that would be one of those plot points that they revisited and were like, you know what? It doesn't make sense that he's been gone this long.
Right.
Let's make it.
Yeah.
Especially if they've got other Jedi in this thing.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. Because that's what I was saying from the beginning.
Walked in and like dumped a sack of holocrons and went, "Hey, like, I'm going on a vacation. Make this happen. Peace."
Right. So to me, that makes a lot more sense. You know, it
spins his X-Wing around like the Duke boys, kicks up a bunch of dirt.
Right. Right.
That's why it's orange and black.
and it pretty much says that in this report that, you know, those first 20 years before his disappearance, he was rebuilding the Jedi. So to me, makes a lot more sense, right?
Yeah,
more
palatable. It gets a little closer to the EU. It's not as much of a rip,
right?
You know,
right?
I can get behind that.
Yeah,
yeah. So
of course, I didn't have too much of a problem with the other way either. I like this better though.
It does mention some, kind of, and we've mentioned this before too. I think on our last podcast, we talked about, you know, at the end of the movie, Luke saves the day, but in a bad way, in a different way. And he's not the same kind of person.
It's in a bad way, man.
So this report also kind of confirms that a little bit, that Luke is flirting with the dark side a little bit. So
Luke is.
Oh, Lucas.
He flirted with the dark side plenty when Lucas he told the Disney, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
And that's kind of EU too, right? I mean, Luke has always been that kind of character that was, he's always kind of flirted with the dark side a little bit.
I wouldn't say always.
Not always, but.
I think after Dark Empire, the comic series where he fully went dark.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
After that, he kind of stayed away from it almost to a fault. in the sense that Luke became the vanilla of Obi-Wan, but more powerful than Obi-Wan had ever been. But he became very vanilla to the point of almost inactivity and pacifism.
Sure.
He was practically a Jedi monk.
But early on, I guess I would point to the fact that, I mean, if people thought Anakin's childhood was troubled,
right?
I think Luke even more so, right? I mean, the guy never knew his parents. Yeah. You know, the only parents that he had were killed horrifically.
Hold on.
Yeah, but he didn't grow up in slavery.
Are we okay, Howie? Sorry, yes. We were having a helicopter landing there for a second there.
That was... Yeah.
Seriously, I was about ready to... You know,
is it the drones?
Probably.
Pappy's got his drones out again.
Yeah.
Papaw, I mean.
Yeah, you better be careful. He'll come back in and get you. That's okay. We're going to just roll with it.
Yep.
Okay, so generally, you know, the Luke Skywalker rumors.
Luke having the more troubled childhood than Anakin, because there's the whole Luke wasn't a slave thing. I mean, you know, if I'm spitballing here, but I gotta say, I was raised by surrogate parents. Oh, yeah, well, I was a slave.
Yeah, he was a slave.
I mean, my mom was around.
Robots and had a house.
My mom was around, had to sleep with random alien dudes just to make ends meet.
Yeah, what did you do?
Just to pay for my droid building habit. You know, I got a discount from the guy who owned me, so there's that. And he made me race in some very dangerous things where a lot of people die, but well, I guess I turned out okay. Oh, wait, no, fell to the dark side, killed everybody. I'm just saying.
Classic Anakin.
I
didn't say that he had You could have convinced me.
If Owen and Beru had a son that was older than Luke that like beat him up all the time and pushed him around. So he grew up always playing second fiddle to the Lars boy.
Aw, man.
Man, one of these days, I'm going to grow up and save the galaxy. Shut up, kid. Go give me some power converters.
Beat him up for him.
I'm making Star Wars even more cheesy.
Going back to the pictures that we had saw this week, we were reported in the news section about the on-site pictures of the aircraft and all that stuff. Well, there were other pictures taken during that shoot.
Yeah.
And have you guys seen these pictures?
I have no idea. Have I seen these pictures?
Well, they're pictures supposedly of Gwendolyn Christie and Adam Driver.
I know that person. Were they in blue makeup?
All of your links just point to our Facebook page.
They were not. Yeah, because the pictures are in there.
Well, I'm goofball. Looking. Where? Which ones? Turn around and look at my screen. Point at things.
Where are they?
Oh, I see. So
there's a couple of pictures that have...
That is not an Imperial garb unless she's got a sweater over her uniform.
This is the rumors. This is how the rumors kick in. So, these photographs are pretty blurry. I mean, they're obviously from far away using a telephoto lens. So
far away.
The Gwendolyn Christie Hey-o. Picture, I can't really say that's her, personally. She's
7 feet tall.
It's a tall, blonde female.
That's hard to say that's her. Well, true, but I can't say definitively that's her. The Adam Driver look, I can pretty much say that's him just from the nose like and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
But the Gwendolyn Christie, not sure. Well, the rumor surrounding all this, of course, is that they don't appear to be, well, first off, the landing platforms and all that stuff that we saw, X-Wings and the Millennium Falcon.
Right. So I would like to point out, though, that Adam Driver is wearing a red pilot suit. Is he an A-Wing pilot? Or were they the green suits?
Could have changed 30 years later. Who knows?
No, yeah, but you know what? It's also the exact same pilot suit. It looks very, very, from this distance, very little difference in style.
The point here is, though, that if they're hanging around that set with clearly hero type characters, that they probably are not on the enemy side of the film.
Maybe.
So what
maybe,
do you mean?
Maybe she's spying.
Well, that's, some people have said that maybe they're spying, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting, especially with Gwendolyn Christie. The early rumors were that she was part of the Empire, and that she was dispatched to retrieve John Boyega, who was a rogue stormtrooper.
Right.
So initial reports were that she was on the bad side, and same with Adam Driver, that people thought he was going to be a menacing character, but these photos seem to indicate they're hanging around the good guys.
Hey, this could be part of the misdirection. It's easy to throw somebody in a goofy costume and say, walk across, there's people taking a picture on the ridge.
Do you do that though? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I absolutely think they would do that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Look what they're doing with the Zack Snyder.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
Spending time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What are they doing with Zack Snyder? I don't even know.
The Twitter stuff. Like, just screwing around and horsing around. I'm telling you, like, oh, there's some people over there. They don't know. We know they're taking pictures of the bushes. Where? Right over there. I don't see them. No, look like to the right of my thumb. To the right of my thumb. All right. No. Okay. Yeah. No. I see him. They don't see anything. Okay. Hey, go throw over. Hey, see that costume over there? You mean that like brown tunic that no one's even using? No, you haven't even figured out how to incorporate into it. Yeah, go put that on. It'll be hilarious. And then just walk but walk casual. Pause for laugh. And then, you know, I absolutely think that's possible.
Okay. Why are you throwing tape at Gr-gr-gr-gr?
I have the picture of Gr-gr-gr-gr from our Facebook page is up on my monitor. I'm wadding up tape and throwing it at it.
Yeah, right. You're setting it as your background.
All right. Well, since we're on the Facebook page, get off of him.
Gladly.
Go back up.
Now my fingers are all gooey from tape. You want me to look at a Cylon? No, well, you're pointing at the Cylon.
There's Cylons right there. On there?
Apparently. I can't see that very well.
What so is this? There was also another supposed leak of concept art this week. Ooh. And the piece of concept art depicts a lightsaber battle in front of the Millennium Falcon.
So, I could not get a higher resolution shot.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, seriously. Come on. Get your leaked concept art up to snuff.
So, and in the background, there's a character holding a blaster aimed at the two people fighting.
And it looks like I've seen a blonde hair and a green lightsaber for one of them.
And yellow lightsaber.
Yeah, kind yellow of, orange.
I mean, the menacing, I would imagine, is this one.
Yeah.
The taller character with the
high ground, if you will.
The high ground.
Oh, no. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Now, the one holding the green lightsaber, to me, looks almost feminine. Very small.
Yeah, very petite, but it could just be the
distance.
Could
be Luke. Luke's a small guy.
Well, it could be the distance fact that this other character is so towering.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to say if it's a male or female.
You could say that's like child Anakin, the way it looks in this picture. You know, yeah. I mean, cut out all of the Millennium Falcon and all that, and you could say that that's a silhouette of Anakin as a kid. So I think there's a lot more to be
I mean, looking at that and looking at other concept art, like the Han Solo art and stuff like that, does this look plausible to you, or is this just fan art
that's going around? We haven't seen a lot of action-y concept art. We've seen a lot of, like, costume art and stuff like that. But we haven't seen, like, this looks like a... usually concept art is not depicting a scene like that, like an action scene like this. And why is someone going to go to the trouble to draw the Millennium Falcon in that much detail and stuff like that? Plus, you know, look, the geometry on the Falcon's not really great. The perspective's a little warped when you look at the front end of it up here. I'm going to say also the framing of I'm going to get really artsy on you and throw my art degree around. It's got an X composition, a crisscross composition, which is like said to be the most eye-pleasing composition. That's not something you do for film. That's something you do for a still image.
Yeah.
Also, you'll notice this is hanging on a wall somewhere, and it's just a picture of it. Your concept art's not usually displayed quite like this. It's usually up on a board or something like that. Right. This looks like it's art that someone did. It doesn't mean that it wasn't somehow affiliated with the film. It could be, but it doesn't reek of the other stuff that we've seen.
See, I kind of felt that way too. It just didn't. The other stuff that we've seen was a little more, I don't know, meaty.
Well, and it was a little more. Yeah. I mean, there's a good detail in this and stuff like that, but detail's not usually what you're looking for in concept art. You're looking for the lines and the composition. Right. And overall, this doesn't look like the right kind of composition to me. You know, it's like saying, hey, can you draw someone with fighting with lightsabers in front of the Falcon? Well, we don't know what that would look like.
And the Falcon doesn't even appear to be landed. It looks like it's hovering there.
You don't see the landing gear.
It's
hard to tell.
Doesn't it say Deviant Art on there?
Probably.
I think it does somewhere.
But the perspective on the Falcon's not real good at all. So, no, I think it's just, I mean, how often do you see people like... draw in or like in concept art, do you see people like worrying about bands of light and things like that? Like you're seeing some of the, I don't know. You don't usually see action like that in concept art. You see, this is what a planet looks like. This is what a scene, you know, what the set would look like and stuff like that. You don't usually see, this is what it looks like. This guy's hitting another guy with a lightsaber, you know?
Right.
So I like it. I'd hang it on my wall.
That's cool. Yeah. All right, cool. Totally. Well, if you want to check it out, you know, go head up the Facebook page and take a look. The last one I've kind of saved the best for last here, boys. Ooh. So there was a big one this week.
This better be better than the rest of them.
It should be. I hope so. Okay. Did you guys peek? Right. Do you guys know what I'm gonna?
Nope.
What I'm gonna bring up?
Is it the dude that like asked people for if they want a mustache ride in Super Troopers? Because that's also on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's the announcement of what I just said. Okay. So,
yeah. Not the best.
So I was listening to some other podcasts this week, and it was kind of mentioned. I know I'm a traitor. Cheater. Right? It was mentioned in a couple of them of some people that are podcasting from the Hollywood and all that good stuff.
People from the fringes of the industry.
A little more inside than we are. Mentioned that.
We're so deep inside where we could get a conviction. Yeah,
inside your own butt.
In your butt.
Yeah.
This podcast is way too long for that.
Okay, so here we go. So the mention this week was that, we've mentioned Star Wars Rebels is hitting and all that good stuff. And
yeah, good show.
Mike's giving us a little recap.
So at the top of the show.
Yeah, we also Papaw Jin stopped by.
Yeah. That was, talked about a few toys.
We talked about like period laden jelly, apparently.
Okay, what are we at? Are we about 3 hours and 5 minutes by now?
Feels like it.
All right. So in Star Wars Rebels, supposedly a certain redheaded character is going to be making an appearance in Star Wars Rebels.
What?
Wait, you mean it?
Redheaded or red haired?
We're finally going to see the Ron Weasley fan crossover.
Mara Jade is supposed to be making an appearance in Star Wars Rebels.
Huh. Says who?
But not Ron Weasley, right?
Not Ron Weasley, sorry.
But he can also be in it, though, right? Later on.
How old would Mara Jade be? Like seven, eight years old?
No, she'd be
12.
Right age.
She'd be an Emperor's hand.
Rebels?
Yeah.
But yeah. Luke's not even 18. Why not?
So?
When does Rebels take place? She was
5 years before.
Right now. 5 years before. Okay, so she's 13 years old.
Takes place next week.
She's just going through her change.
How old is Ezra?
You know, she's got a note to get out of gym class.
How old is Ezra?
I don't know. 13?
14?
Yeah, right. So possible to have Mara Jade in this, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Nah.
I mean, they could have an.
I thought there would be more excitement for this budding romance. I thought this would be
This is a little more exciting. If Mara Jade shows up at all, she's back in the canon.
Yes, right.
That's the exciting part.
Cool.
We don't know. Ultimately, that doesn't mean that everything comes back in.
Right. We don't know that she's married to Luke or any of that stuff. Right.
So that's big. Her being in Rebels. I don't either.
That was what would be exciting to me is that she would be back in the canon.
Yeah, she'd be back in the lab again.
Which to me from the beginning, you know. By all accounts, they've done polls on this.
It wasn't me this time. It wasn't me. It was Mike's wild gesticulations.
Ouch. By all accounts, and they've done polls on this, the most popular expanded universe character ever was Mara Jade.
Yeah.
By far. Nobody else even came close.
Grand Admiral Thrawn, I would hope.
Yeah.
The Chiss Sith. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
The Chiss Sith.
To me, it always made sense. I mean, when they were going to reboot and do all this stuff, that she would be part of the new canon because she was such a popular character. That means she can be in episode 7
now.
Yes, that could be, that could possibly be.
Well, yeah,
wait a minute.
They slapped a red wig on him.
Now, let's go back to some of the rumors that we know. Our last cast, we talked about one of the rumors that are out there is that... On our last cast, one of the rumors that we said are out there is that Luke has no known offspring, right? So if they're introducing, you know, Mara Jade to this.
So Mara Jade is Luke's daughter now?
Exactly. You guys got it. All I'm saying is that if some of this is true, some of it could line up that, you know, maybe she is involved in the films in some way. At some point.
Interesting. Who knows?
It would be nice to have her back in. It would be nice to at least know that she exists.
Awesome.
Right.
Yes. Rather than being relegated strictly to legend.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm on board for that. Yeah. I'm not turning the cartwheels. I think Mike was hoping. I'd like just suddenly like spray like a boy cat all over the room or something. But
no, but you made the right point. The right point is that if she gets into the show, then she is officially part of the new canon. And that would be exciting to me.
And here's the other thing. What's it like to be a 13-year-old Emperor's Hand? pretty if they even awesome do the Emperor's Hand it. Thing, tread lightly. Because if it's just like, oh, I have to do bad stuff. Sometimes they make me do bad stuff. I don't always like it. Maybe I can be good because I like you. But no, ultimately, I'm going to go with the bad. Okay, Saved by the Bell. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kelly Kapowski, Mara Jade. I'm thrilled. I don't want to see that garbage. If they can actually make it really edgy.
Supposedly, Rebels is going to be more edgy. I mean, they've made a point to come out here the last few weeks now that the premieres are coming out and all that stuff to there's going to be a little more edgy tone
for the avid readers, the people who actually do get into the Fate of the Jedi books and stuff like that. I don't want to see the relationship between the Sith chick and Ben, between Ezra and Mara Jade.
That was painful.
Yeah. Basically, like, oh, she's part of the Sith, but he doesn't think she's all bad. He can sense the good in her, and she's kind of like,
I'm really good.
Bad, but he kind of, I like him. Maybe she can turn him bad with me. And it's
she's
just,
a bad girl, and I like that.
It is, you know. And then they get addicted to caffeine pills, and I'm so excited.
Thank God, that was a great episode.
Oh, you know what's really great? You need to watch the unofficial Saved by the Bell biopic that I watched while watching football last week, because that's something you need to back channel between the Saved by the Bell, the unofficial Saved by the Bell biopic, and them actually doing the reading and rehearsal for that scene, the kids.
The
not Jesse Spano pretending to be practicing that scene. It was great. It was so painful. It was great. But hey, you didn't join us to talk about Saved by the Bell. You joined us to talk about Star Wars, and I'm hoping that your belly has been properly scratched. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming along. Of course, we want you to follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 and on Facebook at facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. And you want to follow us on the Instagram at FlyCasual1138 as well. I still don't know how that works. Instagram. What? That's kid stuff. do that because Mike's good at it. And we like to engage. We also, desperately want you to get onto your favorite podcast solution and
review us
and rate us and give us some feedback. It helps us get found by the other poor innocent people thirsting for a Star Wars podcast that can make horribly inappropriate jokes about women's biological processes. Because where else are you going to find that, really?
Really, if you think about it.
It's a niche market.
I've never found it.
No, but now you have. You've landed right in the middle of it, my friend.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh. That visual just keeps bouncing back, doesn't it?
I'm not sure what that
I
was.
I blame Howie for all of this. But in the meantime, those things for us. We really appreciate it. In the meantime, once again, I'm Corey. That's Mike. That's Howie. And Garrick, I can't really point at him accurately.
What's up?
I'm below ground.
Across the pond.
Thanks for coming along. We'll see you next time on episode 10, Double Digits.
Hey, we're hitting it.
Woo-hoo! It's a marathon. We're ready for the long haul, boys. How do we do it? Did I ever come up with a way to?
No, you did not come up.
Still, we're almost episode 10, and I still don't know how to close these things out. Do we have to sing? Is that a thing?
I think this is the official way to close it out.
Yeah, that's how we should play every time.
Figured this out.
It's every other week podcast. I don't remember by the time we get around to recording it again, and then I miss one, old. And I'm really gone. So, all right. Well, hey, ladies. Ladies and James. Yeah. Hey. Hey, Jelly. That'll be my closer right there.
Jelly.
I've got a really sweet hand motion I'm doing for no good reason.
Looks good.
We are Jelly here. Huh?
Jelly.
I like it.
We'll play Let's around roll with it. Mike's got nothing for me. He's just shaking his head and wincing and giggling. You're sure. Jelly.
Cherry jelly.
You're jelly.
I'm jelly.
We all jelly. We're getting jelly with it. Something's going to stick. Jelly sticks.
Like jelly sticky.
It is horribly so.
Yes.
We out, I guess.
See ya.
Bye.
Toodles.